Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Hi, this is Ben Domenech, the host of the Federalist Radio Hour. We're a daily show coming to you 5 days a week from Washington, D.C., where we interview our nation's top journalists, politicians, authors, chefs, economists, entertainers, and more. If you're looking for a contrarian discussion on news, politics, or culture, give us a listen and subscribe at PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from corporate on Comedy Central, Jake Weissman. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a review of The Last Jedi in a round of hooray for Baldywood. Plus, RJ Bell with RJ's Parlay, and now, he's got tape measures for eyeballs and shag carpet for eyebrows. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing the good news. Thanks for making a job that didn't exist exist for a young boy who had a dream. And thanks for taking care of our sponsors like LifeLock. And go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code Adam. Save a bunch of money over there and bet DSI. Use the promo code Carolla25. Get $25. Free wager. Get going. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
I'm a weirdo.
You said it.
Yeah. All right. So much to get to today, as per usual. Trying to go through my little buck slips.
Wait, blue for business or white for pleasure?
I got the blue for business over here. This is
you sure do.
That's tires and waxes and things.
Yeah, the stuff I need, Matt. DeAndrea and Matt Fondelier and
the
Rob
mats.
And all the Matts and the Robs and all the stuff that they need to do, all the little junk they need to do, and then versus all my little quips and thoughts, things from the road, such as I was in bed in Maui. I had another thought, and I was thinking about a viable defense for the Weinsteins and the Spaceys of the world.
It's good to know someone's working hard on their behalf.
On vacation. No. His brain's never on vacation. And I know those guys are laying in bed in rehab thinking of me.
And God knows they need to be cut some slack.
They can rest a little easier, you know, in the Ace Man.
Well, look, we're going to have to figure out a Twinkie-type defense for them. A syndrome.
They're working on it. Weinsteins have an easier time.
I have their answer. I'm going to use Dr. Drew. Okay. I'm going to get his endorsement on this. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Okay.
It's a syndrome. It's important to have a syndrome. And you guys can laugh. You go, oh, how's this ever going to work? Epstein-Barr didn't exist. Chronic fatigue syndrome didn't.
ADD.
None of it existed when I was 14. Now everyone has it. Mm-hmm. Restless cock syndrome.
I'm listening.
This is syndrome.
You talk about RCS?
Yeah, RCS.
My uncle had that.
You're on RCS. He was a veteran.
That's right.
He got it in Korea. Restless cock syndrome. That's what these guys are suffering. They need your pity and your support. And I'm going to have a hat made up. Oh, I haven't quite sculpted it yet. I'm working on a prototype out of styrofoam, but we're going to have it cast in fiberglass when I'm done.
So they're the victims of their syndrome.
of their syndrome.
Right.
Everyone's a victim is what I'm saying. I'm not saying their victims aren't victims.
Yeah. Everyone's a victim.
But they have RCS.
Yeah.
Restless cock syndrome.
Right.
That's right.
These powerful Hollywood executives need your help.
That's right.
For pennies a day.
Mm-hmm.
We show a shivering Harvey Weinstein behind bars in a cage.
His penis is just quivering.
Looking pathetic.
Yeah, we'll have all the guys this year at the Oscars will wear an offish white.
A cream.
Clearish, cleary, with a, like a whiter.
Yeah. Iridescent.
Like a sort of a clear slick on top of it.
Yeah.
There'll be a crusty white we'll use.
There'll be a publicist, a little tub of it off just off stage in case someone forgets.
It'll be an in memoriam, but just pictures of dicks.
Yep. They'll all wear gym socks with a little ribbon that's a little brooch. It's a little a little boutonniere on there. But it's shaped like a hamper.
Sure, of course.
Mm-hmm. RCS syndrome.
That's good.
RCS.
Yeah, RCS.
I don't see anyone laughing. I think this is brilliant.
I'm pretty sure I can get Dr. Drew. You give him $10, he'll put his name on anything. We'll get him behind this thing. He'll cut a PSA. Yeah. And next thing you know, it will be a thing.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew. I may have made you laugh in the past, but RCS is no laughing matter.
Right.
Well, instead of dogs in cages and slow motion, it'll just be Harvey looking up with his hands on the bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shivering.
Yeah, this is great.
Uh-huh.
I'm really glad you put it out there because I've been really quiet about it, but I am a sufferer of...
You have...
No,
well, that's...
No, no,
that's so brave.
No. You're a survivor.
You're a survivor. Yeah. And you know what?
You're so brave, Chris.
You can come out of the shadows now.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Or the shower.
Yeah.
The shadows in the shower. You can come out. That's right. And then your talking points, like when you go on CNN, when Dr. Drew goes on CNN, you say stuff like, you wouldn't put someone in jail for having AIDS, would you?
That's horrible.
You wouldn't put someone in AIDS for having sickle cell, would you?
No, no, that'd be monster.
Okay.
Absurd.
All right. Okay, let's go
alone.
To commercial.
Yeah. There's dozens of you.
You're alone. You're not alone, brothers.
See if anyone else who works here quietly is suffering with RCS.
Ash from a distance.
Restless cock syndrome. All right. So I thought about that as a viable defense.
You are a genius.
Thank you very much. And, you know, it'll work whatever floats your boat, whether you like the young fellas like Spacey or you like the Euro models like Weinstein.
Your cock can still be restless.
Yeah, you don't choose. Your penis does.
Absolutely. And we do that thing where we have to explain restless leg syndrome and here's how it works and everything. And we go, same thing.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Wow.
Okay.
This is good.
And until we find a cure, you know, we need your generous donations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This podcast is funny a lot of the times, informative, but this time it's important.
We love to help people.
Yeah. So that's one of the many things I came up with.
Hashtag RCS.
Oh, you were alone at the luau?
Yeah.
Your family had abandoned you?
Hashtag RCS.
RCS.
That's right. All right. The other thing I was thinking about when I was laying in my hotel room was you go into the hotel. And they talk about being like an eco-friendly this and that. And you go into the bathroom and they have the picture of the dolphin next to the towel. And we don't wash the towels or use the same towel more than once. Well, I'm completely fine with all that. I love all that. And then I realize I do this thing where I like to tidy up before I leave.
That's nice
same.
Of you.
I put all the towels I've used into the bathtub. I like get everything out of the way and make it easy on the cleanup.
Yeah, I have this. There's two things I do in a hotel.
Make the bed, but I'll like flip the sheets over and make it like, you know, kind of tidy.
Make it look like less of a crime scene.
Yes, exactly.
It's used.
Yeah.
It's an interesting indicator. I'm curious what it means. And I think people may have different motivations for doing it, but there's two things. I'm at a hotel for 5 days, the maids come once. And that's just because Lynette's complaining. Like, I don't want them buzzing around my room, per se.
Either.
I like to kind of keep after my own stuff. I can take my towel and hang it
me
out
too.
And whatever it is. At some point after 3 or 4 days and come in and make the bed or whatever.
How long do you go with cleaning your own bathroom, your own sink?
Not daily.
Not daily.
Right,
certainly.
Right. So there's that part. Then I find myself before we're leaving sort of doing my tidy up. So as I'm doing my tidy up, we have the big, thick plastic bags where I paid for the overpriced. I paid for the overpriced hats and flip flops and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. had a
the gift shop bag
had a funny thing. I was sitting, I was telling you about the Howie's catamaran, sitting in Howie's catamaran, and had a little difficulty with the day before somebody had just gobbled up Lynette's hat and sunglasses from a beach chair. Oh. Not a thief per se, although maybe.
Did they take it?
It was gone.
It was gone, but there's a lot of confusion over whose chairs are these chairs. Yeah. We thought those are our chairs. Kids take stuff and throw it in people's bags. Okay. You know, they have the pool, the beach bag and
drinks,
stuff like that, drinks
and
everything else.
And
right. So then there's the thing which I hate most, which is buying a hat on the road. Buying a hat when you're in tourist country just means you're going to pay $28 for a hat that you get. Normally, yeah. I get hats for free around here.
You're going up in cost and low in quality.
Yeah, it's
right.
going to be bedazzled. It's going to have the name of the city you're in.
It's going to be gaudy.
Yeah.
Right. So I say to Lynette, as much as I hate, I go into one of those tourist shops. We can go where we get on the boat.
Go to the ABC shop.
Go to the shop over there and go in there and pay top dollar for a hat and for the boat. And then she pays top dollar for the hat on the boat. And then we're sitting on the boat, and she's sitting in the front of the boat with the kids, with the wind just blowing in her face. And I go down deck side. I go down by the bar there, and I'm sitting down talking to Howie or somebody. And at some point,
hat rack.
Her brand new hat just like lands in my lap.
Oh,
there's a small hatch on the roof of the deck when you go down the deck. One small hatch, about 18 by 18. She's sitting on the front of the boat, 12 feet in front of the hatch. A big wind cuss kicks up, takes second hat now, right off her head, and it magically just goes right through the hole and lands at my feet. And then I walk it around and give it to her.
And you don't believe in God.
With a fairly stern warning this time about battening down her hatch.
Not a disposable hat.
Yes. So, I'm in the, and I got the bag, the big thick, the bag that's too thick. Let me tell you something. The bag they give you at the supermarket with the paper handles on it, and you got all the frozen food at the bottom, too thin. Mm-hmm. Never quite feels like it's going to make it to the car, and oftentimes doesn't. The bag they give you when you go to buy a magazine and flip-flops, it's thick Visqueen. Yeah. It's like, it's really a thick, high-grade plastic. You could
like
put 70 pounds of sand in that and carry it all day, and it would be no problem. Why so thick with that bag? What does that bag know that the grocery bag, you're not buying cans of corn at the place. You're buying some swim trunks, some sunglasses, a magazine, like lightweight. Mm. Flip-flops, all lightweight.
Fairly durable.
All lightweight items. But they give you a big, thick bag. Same with the magazine stand kind of bag. You get that bag. Now there's the plastic. There's the Moet champagne glass from the night before. That's the plastic, big plastic champagne.
It's flute.
Flute. But it's solid. It's white. It's kind of big. It's got the logo on it. And then the various bottles, lots of bottles of water,
right.
Expired bottles of water, lots of the thick plastic cups that they give you with the pineapple water down, and I'm gathering them all up, and I'm realizing, why no recycling in a hotel room?
Oh.
There's hundreds of rooms, times millions of establishments. All over the goddamn United States and all over the world, they're always hitting you over the head with the dolphin and the water, and we're saving on this, and sometimes even bragging about having solar and, you know, being net neutral when it comes to using power and all that kind of stuff. Never recycling. Never recycling. For a guy who recycles religiously, it's weird taking all these cans, beer cans and bottles and everything and just shoving them all into the trash can.
Yeah.
Why no recycling?
It's a terrible excuse. My only thought is that at these luxury hotels, you know, in Hawaii, Maui, whatever, they would think it would look ugly if there was a blue bin in your hotel room.
Or,
and that's a terrible excuse, but I think
thinking about that. Like, I was sort of thinking, well, they don't want it to seem like you're staying in your own kitchen.
Right.
But how long would it take us to get over that?
Yeah.
Is it naive to think that they're recycling it downstairs? They're sifting through all that crap?
Are they separating it?
Maybe. They may not be. They could do it in your home garbage, too, but they don't. They want you to do it this way. And if I really think about the garbage, it's pretty much all recycled. I mean, it's pretty much all bottles and cups and stuff. I'm not producing a lot of
waste.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not
especially
not
on vacation, compost, especially in a hotel room.
Vegetables.
Right, right, right. So I don't know. I think they should. They should have it.
Right.
They should say it. All they'd have to do is put them in all the hotel rooms, put a little thing on a thing, coach everyone up, and in 6 months, it'd just be throwing it in there. Yes, so says Chris.
Well, the New York Times in 2009 wrote an article about why they don't have the blue bins under the desks, and they said because it's a challenge to get all that recycled material to the recycling center, and they're going to burn a lot of fuel doing that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What does that mean, though? I mean, you could say that
the
trash truck is too much
gas. Otherwise, we're hauling recycling materials in a truck burning fuel for 80 miles because they can't do it unless there's a recycling place within a 50-mile radius of any given property.
With the redemption, you'd be at least breaking even.
But that is the New York. That's in the middle of New York. All right, but here's what I'm saying.
The New York Times.
Some of the Times doing a story on someone else.
Right. About all hotels?
They because probably talked to someone in
Iowa. this is somebody from Starwood Hotels.
Oh,
but here's what I'm saying. If you have the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, and they don't do it, there's residential 100 yards behind the Beverly, and there's residential all around there. There's residential all around the Beverly Hills Hotel or the Beverly Wilshire, or any of these hotels. There's residential, and they all recycle.
That story being from 2009 smacks of being very old and out of date because every corporate building, every multi family unit has those giant bins, right? It's the giant dumpsters and the big bins for recycling and for regular trash, for little lawn clippings or whatever. So I don't know. It feels like in the ensuing decade, it probably could have been addressed.
All right. So this sort of just basically plays to my complaint and point all the time that we have stuff that we're interested in, but not that interested in, but say we're interested in, but never stop talking about, and then other stuff we don't seem to care about.
Oh,
and
it makes a big difference to the hotel when it impacts their water bill. You know, wash a third less towels or whatever it is.
Right. So
it's a big difference.
Right. The one thing is good for the environment. They're both good for the environment. One thing saves the hotel money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The other one is either hassle or costs them money or they break even on. So if you'd like to know anything about human nature or how human beings work, or which hotel has a heart, or how it all works, one of them comes right off their bottom line, and that's how much water you guys use. And the other is neither here nor there in the profit or loss margin, possibly a little bit of a loss. So guess which one they're very vocal about, and the one you've never heard of.
Yeah, the one they advertise in the hotel room.
This is why my argument all the time of, oh, come on, do the right thing. It just doesn't really work. Right. You just need to say, here's what we're doing. Here's the rules. Here's how it works. Right. And then they'll do it or they won't, because that's how. But it's also, it's not like, Best Western is inherently evil. And
the Redruff Inn guys, those are good guys.
Right. They're not. They just sit around and think about ways to save them money. And this isn't a way to save them money. So we have to give them a way to make this not cost them anything or even a little bit profitable. And once they could make a nickel off it, they'd be all over it. Okay. So there's that. More reasons why I should be in charge.
Listening, Hilton family?
The time change was not helpful to you. Lying in bed thinking about these things on vacation.
Blink, blink.
I had another random thought, which is a rich man, poor man. It's a bit of a rich man, poor man, but it's modified, which is this. No matter how big your house is or how much money or how big your spread is or whether you live in the swankiest parts of Bel Air or Beverly Hills or Malibu, no matter how expensive the real estate is, they all have rats. There's always rats everywhere. Now, more so in even Beverly Hills has like a bigger rat problem than Sherman Oaks does.
Absolutely.
Now, roaches, that's for poor people. Rats, That's the king's pet.
Yep.
They're everywhere. And I was like,
finally someone said it.
I was like, Mark Garagos's Christmas party. And I was like, overheard like this woman going, oh God, we can't, they're in the ivy. We can't. And I realized they're living in estates.
Semi wooded up there.
And any ivy covered home is going to attract critters.
There's just nothing you can do about it. Somehow roaches, there's something you can do about. Rats just are. If there's ivy, they're there. It doesn't matter how rich the person living in the house is. There are going to be rats all over the place. And there's nothing they can do about keeping from getting under the house or crawling around up in the attic. And I hate it, too. But there's no amount of money. There's no zip code that can transcend rats or mice. Yep. They're always there.
No matter how much money, they'll find you.
They'll find you. I just think, poor people sleep easy tonight or rejoice or whatever it is.
You're not alone.
No, when I was poor and I lived in an apartment, I didn't have mice.
Right.
Once I moved into houses, then it became this issue. Also, it doesn't help that you go berserk covering up all the intake holes with screens and doing all the access stuff. And then later on, at some point, the kid throws a ball and it rolls under the porch and you look under the porch and you see the access has been removed and you go, what the hell? Oh, the electrician came. Jeez, that was 2 months ago. Oh, yes, he climbed under. He removed the access panel, did whatever under, then he left. And guess who didn't put the access panel back on the thing like a human being? And the
now
only thing...
a trove of rats.
The only thing I hate more than that guy is the person standing next to you who explains the most obvious concept in the world. Well, he had to remove the panel to get under the house. Yes, I know.
He probably came out the same.
I'm not saying he should have never removed the panel. I understand.
Why must the conversation end there?
Yes, but he didn't put it back. Yeah, he had. But he probably took it off to get it. Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, I'm not arguing with the part where I said you must tunnel into the into my crawl space in my house, or somehow will yourself there. But you can't remove that hatch, not the access panel. I'm saying you have to put it back.
Whatever you do. Remember how I said one of my short-term New Year's resolution was to get organized?
Yeah.
Spend all the time in the garage over the weekend, putting stuff away, moving stuff, reorganizing. One of the things I did was years ago, literally, I think like 2 years ago, we found that, I think it was probably Christmas 2 years ago, we're taking out, the bins and stuff and the boxes, all the decorations, and we found that one of them had been gnawed by a rat. It had like a bunch of styrofoam stuff everywhere.
Plastic
and so
bits.
Called the exterminator, said, I'll put out some traps and I'll bait them and we'll see what happens. 2 years goes by, traps are still there. I see them every time I walk out there. I'm like, nothing to the traps. And now I'm like, God damn it, I'm getting rid of those traps. I had a vision in my head of Tessa getting into the garage because she likes to play around the garage. There's just fun stuff there. Touching one of the traps, just losing a finger. So snapped all the traps with the end of a broom and tossed them out.
Do you know what the guy who came to our house, because I saw a mouse and I almost lost my mind. They love the smell of peanut butter.
Yeah, so you put peanut butter on
the traps. Yeah, the traps are peanut butter flavored.
Yeah.
This is all part of my why we can't really be allergic to peanuts argument, which is every single creature on the planet loves peanut butter. It doesn't matter what you want to catch. You can catch a unicorn if you have enough peanut butter.
Yeah.
That's like every trap can be baited with peanut. Don't tell me every single thing on the planet except for snot-nosed kids named Dalton from Encino can no longer eat peanuts.
Well, speaking of which,
kiss my ass.
Literally last night, Tessa's, she turned her nose up at almond butter in favor of Daddy's peanut butter.
Nice.
Yeah, she wanted
That's
the peanut butter.
Girl.
She pushed away Mommy's almond butter and tapped the lid of Daddy's peanut butter.
Dog won't even eat almond butter, so
it's a little, it's an acquired taste.
It not everything is meant to be butterized. Thank you. It works, but it doesn't work like peanuts.
Correct.
Sweet, smooth peanut butter.
Would anyone like to guess the name of the
Jackson
person who invented peanut butter?
What's his name? Carver? Carver?
Yeah. Well, he invented a bunch of uses for the peanut.
Say, considering he invented 25 things involving the peanut, I'm just going to go with Skippy Von Carver.
Skippy Von Gipstein.
I think it was like Andrew Straub.
Oh.
The craziest thing about George Washington Carver is he sat in his lab mashing peanuts all day, making like oil. He was making lubricants
and fertilizer.
Yeah, yeah. And grease and everything else. And at some point, lubricants. He'd have to say to his wife, hey, give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and bring it down here. Or get me a tuna fish sandwich. Or
Boy, I sure am hungry.
He never invented peanut butter.
Can't stop licking my fingers. Boy, I sure am hungry.
But that's beside the point. Back to the oil.
Back to the lab.
He did like he figured out 143 things to do with peanuts, except for one of them wasn't peanut butter.
So he'll actually go down in history as the world's dumbest guy.
I would put him there.
Dumbest genius.
I'd put him there. All right. RJ Bell's on the line. We'll get all sorts of thoughts about the playoffs and the Super Bowl and odds and everything else. First, I'll tell you, about BetDSI. Why not? 20 years paying winners. A-plus rated on sportsbook review sites. I play there. I recommend BetDSI to everyone who wants to have a little fun this football season. It's not just football season. Use your sports knowledge to make a little extra cash. And it's got an easy mobile device. You can play. Nice interface. And just play, win, get paid. Odds on all things football, including live betting, which is always good, and props as the games are in action, which is
that's the best.
That's the best.
Because you don't care about the teams. You know, game's okay. Oh, now
you stay engaged.
Will the next play result in the first down?
Sure. And also kind of like, how good are you? Because you've just seen the first half go down. Mm-hmm. What did you learn during that first half? Anyway, all the major sports, politics, reality TV, pretty much anything you like. Use the code Corolla25 for $25 free for wagering. Just for registering, decide to deposit and get $200 bonus match on your money. So that's betdsi.com. Promo code Corolla25. Get the $25. Get started. Use it on RJ's parlay if you like. And guess who's on the phone? RJ Bell. RJ?
Hey, guys. Happy after the holidays. Missed you for a few weeks. Great to be back.
I missed you as well, RJ. Thank God I vacationed with Cousin Sal. He's no RJ Bell, but
he'll do in a pinch.
He's methadone.
I wanted tread water.
I wanted some heroin, but it worked out nicely. Lots of stuff to think about. And damn it, my Rams, they've sucked me in. It's so easy each year at some point when they're 2-7 and you go, good, I can just walk away.
Exactly.
It's a done deal. But they sucked me in.
Now this is like a good team.
Is it all because of that Wonder Boy, the coach?
The coach is doing great. Rich Eisen was telling me before the season about how good the coach is. Goff is playing good. Gurley's running like a mad person. They've sucked me in. You want to talk odds on the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. Rams are the fifth favorite, 12-1. So 100 wins you 1,200 if you bet the Rams. Saints are right above them, 10-1. Steelers, damn, I'm checking the Steelers, 6-1. The Vikings, second favorite, 4-1.
That's crazy.
And keep in mind, and this is an amazing fact, as of today, the Vikings would be favored in every game they would play, no matter who they play, including the Super Bowl, even if they play the Pats. Because remember, the game's in Minnesota, there'd be a home field advantage.
And no team's ever had like a true home field advantage of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, tell that to my 79 Rams. I mean, they played at the Rose Bowl, which is 7 miles from, but that's a home. That's basically home.
Well, the Niners played at Palo Alto, right, when Montana won the second or third?
Yeah, so I guess the way to delineate it is the actual stadium they play their games in.
Right.
And then the Patriots are favored 2-1.
Oh, yeah. And they started off preseason at 7-1. I should always just bet on the on the Patriots before the season starts. What do you who are you liking for the Super Bowl?
I tell you this. I think if you think about the NFC and you go back to when Brad Johnson won way back earlier this century, like 2003, since then, there hasn't really been a below-average quarterback or even, let's say, a non-top 10 quarterback win the Super Bowl, right? So you could say Peyton Manning a few years ago was not top 10, but he was still Peyton Manning.
And right. Brad Johnson is when the Tampa Bay won it with Warren Sapp in their defense. Right?
You can make a case. You make a case for Flacco, I suppose, but he's on the fringe right there.
I think at the time, Flacco was probably at the fringe of the top 10. So here's my question to you guys. Who amongst the NFC quarterbacks would you say are top 10 quarterbacks legitimately?
Drew Brees.
Well, okay, agreed.
But again, on the fringe, he's not the great.
No, I think Brees is clear top 10.
Well, Goff is playing top 10 type, right?
I disagree with that, and we'll tease ahead a little because I on the parlay, if you look at Goff, when he's been in advantageous situations, you know, first down, play action pass, those kind of things, he's been quite good, and it's been a great upgrade from last year, no doubt. But when they have been in a situation in the fourth quarter, either tied or down by one score, the time when you have to be able to throw the ball, he's been really, really bad, like 13 for 30. So when they know he's going to throw, not great.
Well, I agree. He's been dumping it off to Gurley and letting Gurley break a few tackles and run for 77 yards, and that's just a 77-yard pass, and the ball traveled 6 yards in the air. And he's doing that. And, you know, the thing about Matt Ryan is he's not having a fantastic year, but that doesn't mean he's not a great quarterback.
Yeah, he's been there
before. He could easily show up at a Super Bowl and play some lights-out ball.
Same with Cam Newton, I'd say.
I agree. I think Matt Ryan is the second guy in the NFC in the top 10. I don't think there's anyone else. So my point is, I like the Vikings in many ways, but Case Keenum, he's had a great year, but when the bright lights start to shine in the playoffs, can you trust them? Cam Newton obviously had a great year 2 years ago, but he certainly is not a top 10 quarterback this year. So, and if you look at the AFC, obviously Brady, obviously Big Ben, and now I'm going to make the case there's no other top 10 quarterbacks. So it's kind of weird that only four of the top 10 quarterbacks are in the playoffs. And, you know, some of that's subjective. We can debate the list, but to me, if you can't win without a great quarter or a top 10 quarterback, it feels like there's four teams that have a chance.
You could argue there's some below average quarterbacks on the AFC side.
Well, let's
Mariota for sure.
He's had a bad season.
Let's give us your Super Bowl picks.
Well, I don't love chalk, but when it's the Patriots, you got to love the chalk, and obviously the Steelers are the most competitive otherwise, and going to New England and the way that Belichick has, you know, the advantage over everybody, but it seems like even more so over Tomlin. I'm going with the Pats in the AFC.
And who in the NFC?
I'm going with the Vikings.
Okay. And that'd be a good Super Bowl.
Oh, especially with Minnesota being the home team. They'd probably be a small favor, which I think would be fascinating.
How could you ever be the favorite against the Patriots in a Super Bowl? But you really think they would go off as a very small favorite?
Well, I mean, let's say the home field advantage, typically home field advantage is worth 3, right, in the NFL. Let's call it 2 in this case because the tickets would be dispersed differently, so it wouldn't be a full Minnesota crowd.
Here's an interesting point, too. I've been to a couple of Rams games. I went to a preseason game against Dallas. There were far more Dallas fans in the stadium. I went to a regular season game. It seemed like there was as many Philadelphia Eagles fans, if not more, than there were Rams fans. I would argue the Coliseum, whatever the normal 3 points is, maybe it's a point and a quarter or something, because there are places you go where you can't hear. The opposing quarterback can't hear the snap count because it's so loud. And then there's the Coliseum where there's actually more fans for Dallas Cowboys. There can be no other place than Los Angeles that literally has more green jerseys up in the crowd when they're playing Philly than Rams jerseys.
Well, the Chargers were even worse. And if you look at last week, I don't know if you saw the Raiders. The Raiders had a significant majority of the fans in that Raiders-Chargers game.
What is it about L.A. that's just such a curse? We have two teams.
Transplants.
We have the Chargers, and we have the Rams, and here's how it goes. every other team in the NFL in terms of home crowd, and then a big gap, and then our two teams.
Right.
In terms of, and I get there's a demographic thing and people are transplants and everything else. But
well, I think it's also that they're so recent. There's no history for a lot of these teams.
The
entire generation has grown up not with these teams.
And their big triumphant comeback to L.A. hasn't exactly been very exciting. It was
but
disappointing.
The Rams have a lot of old school Rams fans from back in the day. And the Chargers had a fair amount of fans in L.A. who either transplanted from San Diego, mm-hmm. or picked up San Diego, sort of the closest mm-hmm. team once the Rams left. But either way, look, we're cursed. I get
well,
it.
Real quick, I'd add one point, guys, is, you know, Colin Cowherd talks about this, and I think he's right, is if you look at the main team in a city relative to the next best thing to do in the city, mm-hmm. usually that contrast is how enthused the fans are. So
right.
Green Bay... But not right. much else to do. Right?
True. We got the La Brea Tar Pits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and homeless encampments.
We got Skid Row.
Yeah.
The homeless field advantage is strong with them.
Take a walking tour of the homeless encampments. It's awesome. Barely have to go down the street these days. So, RJ, let's pick this weekend, can we?
Absolutely. By the way, you were talking about Cousin Sal. I don't know if you listen to the Simmons pod they did yesterday. They were talking about you being quite upset at a luau. The kids weren't appreciating all of the activities that were going on for the price you paid.
Sweeping the podcast lands.
Doesn't sound like me.
All right, but that's what they allege, I suppose.
If that's what you heard.
You know, it's a very, what everyone should know, and you only know from traveling with Danny Two Sheets. This was me and Sal and Danny. Daniel Kelson sitting there. Daniel's one of these guys who knows how to travel and he sort of knows how life works. Mm-hmm. And like at some point, you sit at this table and you have sort of a half a waiter, sort of buffet, but the person kind of comes by, but he's got a whole bunch of other tables. Yeah. And at a certain point, Daniel says to the guy, "Hey, can we have waters for everybody and waters for the kids?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, you can get the waters." And he starts like pointing at where we can go and get the water. And I think Daniel gives him like $20 and goes, "Why don't you get the waters?" And the guy goes, "Oh." And then Daniel goes, "And there'll be another tip at the end if this thing works out." And the guy goes, "Oh,
run away, Mr.
Or would you like to order drinks?" And the guy was literally running back and forth, like bringing us drinks and stuff the whole night, just because somebody
for $40
took a five, could have been $10 and just waved it around. Anyway, well, I'll do it. I'm on it.
That's great.
The other tip he gave, which is not what I do, I always try to give the maid a tip at the end of the stay. Mm-hmm. He said, "Don't do it at the end of the stay. You don't get any service out of it. Do it along the way.
Oh.
Drop $5 a day if and you have the maid service come every day or every other day or whatever.
Savvy.
Drop them. Give it a little premature little buckshot there.
Right.
And then they're all ears."
That makes sense. That's what a lot of people do at bars, too. The first tip's the biggest, and then you got a bartender friend for life.
So, yes, we were complaining at the luau. Stupid
is
kids.
Is the point.
Losers. I don't know what I called them. I got angry when they left.
Ingrates.
Yeah.
Freeloaders.
Yeah. I think I may have even said, "Forget you."
Oh. Epic fail.
Stupid.
Sit on it, Pods.
Look, it's their hell that they're creating. They have no idea. They have no... We were sitting in our hotel room. We're going to check out in about an hour. We're just looking out at the ocean.
Taking it all in.
Both my kids were like flopped out on the sofa. Lynette was trying to pack. And I said, "You guys want to head down one more time? Put your tootsies in the ocean. Say goodbye to the warm azure seas before we leave." And they're like, "No.
We're good.
Can you close the drapes? It's a glare on my iPad."
Oh, do we have Sal's clip from Simmons Pod?
Give me one Corolla story before we talk about round one.
Corolla, New Year's Eve, we paid for this. We went to a luau.
Yeah.
And you know how they just got you. Over a barrel New Year's Eve. So it's like 160 for adults and
it's
80 for kids, whatever.
Yeah, he didn't like that.
He didn't like it. And the kids, 8 minutes into the luau, are like, "Can we get out of here?" And he's furious because he's paid for all this thing.
Yeah.
And there's guys like eating fire and throwing fire to their buddies and everything.
Like, kids just didn't like that?
If this was on America's Got Talent, you would be like, "Oh, that's the winner right there." It's like, but these kids, they're looking at their iPads and they're on their phones like, "Hey, can we go?" I was like, "What are you going to do? You're going to go back to the room and just look at your iPads and be on your phone. At least you might catch a a fire to the head or something. So Corolla's like, he's furious that they want to leave. And like, they finally, my wife and his wife, like, I'm just going to take them back to the room. So now it's me, him, and Danny. He's like, these kids are worthless. He says, so that they could all hear, he says they're worthless. And then we get back to the room. Now it's still New Year's Eve. Now it's like 8, 9 o'clock. And Daniel, our friend Daniel, who's just on fire the whole time, is like, hey, let's order room service for the kids. You want to order room service for the kids? Dan's like, we just were at a luau. Adam says, we're just at a luau. We're not now. We're ordering room service for the kids. Like, two pizzas and four Sprites is $90. Carole's like, I give up, Daniel. I was like, our lives are 1,000 times better than our kids' lives are 1,000 times better than our lives were as kids. Do they have to be 10,000 times better? Do you have to make it 10? So they were fighting. It was great.
That doesn't sound like you at all. Nope. I'm pretty sure it's made up.
Well, that is my
libel,
my decree, which is, or my cry to the heavens, which is, can we stop at 1,000 times better? Mm-hmm. Why must we go past 1,000 times better than our childhood? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying stop at 777. I'm saying stop at 1,000 times better than our childhood. I'll give you one
RJ,
example.
RJ, over under on Adam's kids' lives being 1,000 times better than his as child.
They're way out.
Childhood, I would say it's over.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But first off, they have a huge Labrador they sleep on top of every night. Just
they have a living pillow.
They have a living pillow.
It walks from room to room.
My son has a trampoline in the back with a basketball hoop attached to the trampoline, which is adjacent from the other basketball hoop.
So we can dunk.
It's all insane. But, all right. Yes, there's no doubt in my mind that their life is 1,000 times better. And that's what I love to scream that in the heavens. All right. So yes, that is a fairly accurate description of what happened.
Do the kids ever tell you that you're bringing down that average by yelling at them while they're trying to do something else?
Yeah.
That's
now it's only 800 times better.
That's interesting. I should get into that. All right. RJ Bell. RJ hey, Bell, glad. Did you do any of these things as a kid? Go to Maui, go on, you know. I'll give you one perfect example. I'll give you one perfect example of the difference between our childhood and my kids and everyone's kids' childhood. Mm-hmm. And you guys you're going to have to kind of picture this because there's no way to really verify it in terms of your parents.
Okay.
But I know in my heart of hearts that when me and Sal's wife and Lynette drove from the resort to the catamaran an hour away on that road in Maui, we spoke more about her sons and my kids and what we needed to do and teachers and raising them and how sixth grade was and how seventh is going to be a bigger change. But maybe if you got them involved with club sports, they could then use that as a stepping stone to get onto the school team. Because if you don't get onto the school team by the 10th grade, you're not going to have... I know for a fact in that car ride, in that Nissan Murano, the worst named vehicle on the planet, not since the Daihatsu Charade, yep. I know there was more conversation about their kids than my parents had about me and my sister in the first 18 years of our life. I know that when me and Vince Vaughn and his wife and my wife all took a walk to a restaurant before he decided to not be my neighbor anymore. When we walked...
He's probably on the walk, to be fair.
We walked... I literally said it after about a half mile of walking to the restaurant of nonstop, well, yeah, but if you have a private soccer coach and he'll come to the house, he's reasonable. He'll set up. He comes with his own little cones. They'll set it up in the backyard. It's about $65. But if you take that, if you look at the cost you'll save when the kid makes the team, I realize we talked more. I don't believe I've ever even walked in on a conversation my parents were having about me or my sister. I know for a fact they've never had a conversation about me or my sister. There was never like... Well, yeah, but okay, but and understand, you got to take the PSATs to prepare for the SATs. You don't just go into the SATs cold, or you have to take algebra before the ninth grade. Otherwise, you're not going to get into calculus, or junior college will work for a semester or two, and then he could transfer to Berkeley. My parents have never had a goddamn conversation. I know they've never had a conversation about that. They don't even know what I do.
What would have been less likely in the years they were together? You walking in on them having a conversation about you and your sister? Or are you walking on them having sex? Like, really what it probably happened.
Neither.
To her.
I would never. There's no way my mom. I have never had a conversation with my mom about her or me to her face. I would never. We talk about the Gravage family who lived next door. They moved out when I was nine.
The only conversation she probably ever had about you is Adam thinks he's too good for Postum.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. We have to sit. Do you realize that every car ride with a mom is a deep dive into, well, Marcus did well in the sixth grade, mm-hmm. but not as well as we would have liked. Now, you can use a tutor, but obviously there's a stigma involved with that. Now we're thinking, and then someone else chimes in. Well, here's what you have to say. Don't call the tutor, call him the helper.
Specialist.
Well, it's true because he's going to a therapist and we call them a coach right now. We don't call
It's a talking doctor.
Do you know how many conversations I've had to endure about other people's kids and my own kids? It's a nonstop thing. There's no goddamn way RJ Bell's parents talked about him. 110. I know Maxipatis' parents didn't even have a conversation. My parents, there's no way my parents were in the same room talking about their kids. It's no way.
So who do you resent more in this situation? Your parents for never talking about you or your kids for taking up all your conversation time?
Oh, Splint Harris.
Yeah. Okay. Here's part of the problem. It's the bigger overall problem.
Thanks, RJ.
The bigger overall problem is we've decided that there's a fork in the road. Mm-hmm. To the left is women and their thoughts, their ideas, and what they'd like to do and how they'd like to see things play out. And to the right are the guys.
The logic.
And we have been pushing everyone. We've been diverting traffic to the left for the last 15 years. Just everyone go that way. In the past, kids were seen and not heard. The guys would be like drinking brandy and smoking cigars. Shut the door to the study. We don't even want to hear any of this talk. Now, you're just sucked into this never-ending conversation, really about nothing, because all the kids are fine. They'll all be fine. They'll end up doing what we all did. Mm-hmm. They'll do their own thing. Yes. Maybe they'll be good students. Maybe they won't be good students. They'll find their own calling. They'll start their own business or not. They'll make the team or they won't. It is an endless conversation that the women are kind of spearheading, but if the guys, and the guys have a lot of extra estrogen circulating through their body now because we've been dosed with this thing over the last 15 years, then if you go, like, who cares? I want to talk about my business for a while, then you'll be a pariah.
Yeah, you're heartless.
Right, so you're now forced, and ironically, the kids that need the least conversation get the most. Mm-hmm. We're not, I believe the old school Latino, broken family or inner city black kids, I don't believe there's tons of conversations going on about where they are, what they're going to do, how we're going to do this. Not nearly.
That's at the absurd level.
Well, look, everyone has a conversation, yeah. You know, has conversation about their kid, like, mm-hmm. don't forget your lunch or what's he needs a new jacket or something right. like that.
Logistics.
But you take that single mom mm-hmm. with the five kids living in the Chicago in the projects. She's not having the kind of conversations we're having, and she's not having 1/50th of the conversations we're having. Meanwhile, we're out of problems. We're discussing the difference. We're discussing the necessity for playing in a lot of clubs. You got to play a lot of club stuff. And then what about the traveling? Well, you got to travel if you want to do the club. Now, club soccer is good. And then who's in what clubs and what sports? And then there'll things like, well, does Jason like flag football? He's lukewarm mm-hmm. on flag football. Well, he should stick with it. Oh, he's lukewarm. Well, you know what? I was lukewarm on the cello, but I stuck with it. Right. He should stick with, or not, or who cares, or whatever. And actually, you'd be much better off with your parents actually talking about business and mortgages sure. and like things like that in terms of the kids' future,
sure.
like getting some money for college yep. or money to help them yep. start a business, than it would be about, he should play 2 years of flag football. Then when he gets to high school, they have a B team. The B team's not the junior varsity.
That's competitive.
I've never had more conversations about things that would be fine, and it's total insanity. There's no way. Call my mom and my dad and ask them if they ever had a conversation about us.
Who?
Who? All right. Sorry.
Well, I'll say quickly, Adam, is I was 15 in 1985. I grew up in a town with 4,000 people in Ohio, and probably 80% of the dads were coal miners. So you do the math, right? The coal miners in 1985, I can relate. Let's just say that.
I don't think any of
a lot
us.
Of introspective sharing.
What else are they talking about down there?
It's weird. It's a little narcissistic, but mostly it's kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, for kids who are they're shoving them into things they don't care about, why so much effort for the square peg in the round hole?
Is it just a place to put our own growing neuroses?
I think that's a lot of it.
I know, but they're in a world where there's so much to talk about.
How much does she love the cello or soccer?
The kids are fine. They're all fine. They're all way ahead of the game. They're all 1,000% more than we had growing up, and they'll be fine. And if they're not, that'll be on them because they're getting everything. But yet, nonstop conversations. All right, that's why I love the football Sunday. We talk about football,
back to
man.
Football.
All right, sorry. Let's do our picks.
Football. Gambling. America. Don't sweat the bet. We got Vegas insider RJ Bell. This is RJ's Parlay.
Let's hear it.
All right.
All right, well, first, I think our odds of winning have gone up because of my tough upbringing. I have the fire in my belly.
Yeah.
First pick, Kansas City, -8.5, laying the lumber over Tennessee Titans. Titans are a below-average team. They've been outscored by 22 points this season. They're in the playoffs, but they actually got outscored on the season. Kansas City, you remember.
Right, so on the season for Gina Grad.
Thank you.
For I'll just round off here. They've scored 500 points, and their opponents have scored 522 points.
Okay.
So it's weird to be on that side of the line, and they're in the playoffs.
Wow.
Right.
Which implies they're a below-average team, right, if you're getting outscored. Kansas City started 5-0. They had a real slow period during the middle of the season. But here's what happened about 4 or 5 games ago. Andy Reid quit calling the plays. The coach of Kansas City gave the play calling to the offensive coordinator, and their offense has been the best all year since then. And actually, their defense is playing better than it did even when they started 5-0. I would make the case Kansas City right now is playing better than any time this season. And don't be afraid to lay the big number in the playoffs, because you know the team's going to be focused. One of the reasons we like underdogs in the regular season is oftentimes the favorites aren't as focused. Kansas City's focused here. That's pick number one.
KC's at home, 8.5.
Yeah, we talk about home field advantage, and Arrowhead's a pretty advantageous play.
Right. And it's one of those things where, for those of you who are thinking about it, and we all get burned by this thought, which you go, more than a touchdown, and then the game ends, and KC wins it 31-13. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, yeah,
that's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Could have seen that pretty coming. Easy bet. Yeah. All right, next game.
Falcons +6.5 against the hometown Rams. We're taking the points. Atlanta has been probably the team more than any other this year. Their stats are better than their scoreboard. And whenever that happens, even though it's 16 games, it's not enough games for all the wins and losses to even out, and thus I trust the stats, and the pros trust the stats more because they have 1,000-plus plays during the season and only 16 games. And at a per-play level, the Falcons are one of the best teams in the NFL. Now, the Rams are better. I think even considering the stats, the Rams are slightly better. But the Rams are a team, great coaching. McVay, we call him the boy genius. I mean, he really good coach. Him and Shanahan, probably, for the 49ers, two best young coaches. But that kind of solid, consistent play is great during the regular season. But in the playoffs, you need difference makers. And I think that Goff, specifically, is not yet a difference maker. Obviously, Atlanta has the experience in the playoffs We're going to take the jumbo points, Falcons, plus 6.5.
Here's my take on that as a Rams fan. I feel like if the Rams do win the game, they might win substantially, as they've done throughout the year. They've had a couple of a big wins. So my feeling on that is if the Rams are going to win, they're going to win by a touchdown. If it's close, I'm giving it to the Falcons.
RJ, do you know what the over-under is in that game offhand?
Yeah, and by the way, to make Adam's point, if you agree with them, and actually I don't because I think Atlanta's the type of team that can always backdoor, which means let's say they're down 10, they got the ball with 2.5 minutes left. The chance of them scoring that junk touchdown, I think with Matt Ryan, is higher than the typical team. But if you do agree with Adam, you can actually bet the money line. So if you actually wanted to bet the Falcons to win the game, $100 would win you $250. So that's an option.
That's a good. That's yeah. I like that bet because I think they can easily win that game. The Rams can. The Rams are due for a nice big letdown.
And this young team.
This could be it. All right, RJ, we're running late, but thank you for inspiring me to make a rant.
Well, you taught me, Adam. It's all about content.
It's all about content.
RJ Bell, RJ's Parlay.
I think you can listen to his podcast. Where am I? Say podcast one. RJ Bell's Dream Preview. That's right. Available now. iTunes, podcast one. I would love. Oh, Baldywood. Damn it.
It's a good tomorrow.
Ruins everything.
Okay. I would love to have a ticker, a clock. When you have jet engines or race cars. A lot of my race cars, old Newman race cars and stuff, there's a gauge in it from an aircraft. It's basically just minutes the engine's been running. You can't go miles.
Right.
It's a race car. But you have to go like how many minutes, how many hours are on this jet engine or on this thing.
It's rated for a certain
number. I just love a calculator of how many minutes my parents talked about me and my sister. Like how many? That could be like 14 minutes. Or something. Like, I guarantee they have not had a conversation.
You have a whole revealing ceremony where you gamble on the total, whoever's closest.
We look at the tote. I know, the reason I know they've never had a conversation with me about me or my sisters because they've never said anything. Like, they never went like, hey, talk to your mom.
We've come to the decision.
Here's what we think. We think trade school is the way to go. Or any of this never been a discussion. When I broke my shoulder in football, I think they probably had a brief discussion about me not playing Pop Warner football again. I squelched that discussion, and we moved on with our lives. All right. Our guest is here. That is, who's our guest? Sorry.
Jake Weissman.
Oh, Jake Weissman. Yeah.
Question. When your sister did not, she didn't make the full run at home, right?
She got out about the ninth, a little before the ninth grade.
There had to be discussion about that. That is a big deal.
Where's Lauren? I don't know. Where's dinner?
That's a big deal.
I don't know if I've voiced this on this show or what show, but I have a lot of this wiring, and I feel I know this is true. I know because I have some of this in my DNA. Nobody wants to get into the ring and get knocked out. But when some people do get knocked out, as they're heading toward the canvas, they're relieved.
Sure. Oh, my God.
They're thinking, this is hard. I'm getting hit. I'm sweating. I'm exerting a lot of energy. And now I get to just lay here.
Good night.
And sure, it's not the outcome I wanted.
But it beats getting punched.
But it beats getting beat or getting up or exerting effort or whatever it is. And I know my parents had that feeling about their pain in the ass daughter running away. Well, it's not 100%. Just like the fighter who's going down to the canvas is not 100% thrilled with it. But there's a very large part of them that was... Now... Some parents would have 1% sort of relief that we're not living with this insane person and 99% grief and fear and anger and
terror.
And terror and everything else. Parents
more even than most.
I'm basing it on their temperament and their their ability to scour the neighborhood, which seemed seemed limited. So I do think, I know, well, my mom and my dad's goal, number one goal in life, is to be left alone. Raising kids was a distant second or fifth or whatever it is. So if this got you left, if your number one goal in life is to be left alone.
And your daughter says, I got to get out of here.
Your daughter leaves.
Everybody wins.
Pointing towards that goal.
There you go.
Wow.
All right. On that happy note, I'll tell you about LifeLock, man.
I hope she had protection.
Lock her out of your life.
She needed LifeLock when she was staying in those sleazy motels on Sepulveda Boulevard. Doing some post-holiday sales shopping using your mobile device? Scammers can steal your credit card, your info, your data with phony retail apps. Only download apps from reputable stores and read reviews for complaints about malware. One in four people experience identity theft, and if you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can still be stolen in ways you may not detect. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web. You get an online payday loan in your name. That you get that credit screwed up, it's very hard to unring that bell. So let's go with LifeLock. It detects a wide range of identity threats. If you have a problem, their U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. It's the best. It's LifeLock, Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can uncover threats that you might miss. Join now and get 10% off with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam. That's Adam to save 10% now.
All right, comedian Jake Weissman will be in here in a second. First, a little good sports.
Good sports. It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping Hawker.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this presentation of Podcast One Sports. Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. I encourage you, nay demand, that you go and download the Dave Damashek football program. Subscribe going forward, but do yourself a favor. Go back and listen to the recently presented Shecky Awards for 2017. All manner of prizes and awards were given out to society's most deserving. Ace, I know you had the Ace Awards handed out recently. Thank you for the Frozen Glazia.
Yes.
That was a grand one and richly deserved, if I do say so. Myself, I have bad news, though, in case you didn't hear them. I did reopen, under your name, I reopened the best alphabet letter after you made a powerful case in favor of the letter X.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't quite overcome the letter Q.
Why?
It just couldn't do it. And worse news is, your surname begins with the letter C.
Q.
C was also the victor, if you want to call it a victory, for worst alphabet letter. Because as C. we talk, it's just not, you know, yeah. C's stealing the shine off his brothers. You know, C, hey, guess what? Hey, K's over, like we already talked about, but K's over there like, hey, C, I got the K sound covered. We don't need you, man. We don't need you.
Well, not only that, but like, so imagine Q is with C on an elevator, mm-hmm. and this conversation breaks out. Q speaks first. So, C, how crazy and elaborate is the lowercase version of you? Because, first off, you wouldn't even recognize my lowercase if he came into this elevator. Like, yeah. It'd be, you see that movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito? Greater chasm between the way lowercase me looks and uppercase me
looks.
And
don't even start talking about the cursive version of me. Because that's a whole nother bag. That's more like a numerical two.
Right, but so how say you, C? What's the, and then C just, all C does is take a knee and go, this is the lowercase me, just a
which
slightly
is more
smaller
which
C.
Which would you rather be?
I can tell you this right now. I think we all have these, like, dreams or these everyone's biggest nightmare is not going on Jeopardy and flubbing some question about plate tectonics. It's the most insanely obvious. There should be a game show where we find out everything you don't know that everyone knows by the third grade. And the whole thing is a gaslight. We just put you on there. Drew Carey hosted. And for me, you'd give me a dry erase board and everything. And they'd go, all right, draw a lowercase q. Go.
I don't physically know
that I could do it.
It looks like a two, as I remember. Gary behind the glass. What's it look like? I remember it being a weird one. That's not – no, that's a lowercase q. I said a – no, a, I'm sorry, a cursive uppercase q.
Or a cursive lower – and also what you just showed us, Gary, that's not what the typewriter has on it, is it?
No, and board? That's the other thing. The cursive lowercase q does have that thing at the bottom of it that extends out to the right, it, you know, without any explanation, I guess, to distinguish it from a G. But it's a whole mess, but it's aspirational, and that's what I like about the letter Q, is that it's creeping all the way up there. It's escaped nerdity, it's escaped the nerd ranks of X, Y, and Z, and has snuck its way all the way up over the letter R's, S, and T. Yeah, there we go. See, it's like a two there.
We're looking, what's the lowercase look like on the board?
The uppercase,
or is it upper or lower? It's upper on the board.
Uppercase Q is the number two, but with like one of those little Superman curls on, you know, on his forehead kind of thing.
Can I tell you, you tell me if this makes you angry. The passive-aggressive number and letter writers, the people who go, this is my version of a seven. And I go, well, how am I supposed to know your version? I had a friend, John Gillingham. You know how SOB. He drew his sevens?
I've heard about this SOB and his sevens.
He drew his sevens. He drew his sevens. The first thing he did was he didn't start with the shed roof over the top. He came down.
Right.
He's one of those guys who came down. So he didn't just come across at the top. He came down. He came down. And then he also was one of these maniacs that likes to X the seven in the middle for no good reason. Yeah.
Yeah, what's with that about? Why do people do that thing in the middle of the seven?
I don't know.
Put a belt on it.
I don't know. But his thing is he would come way down at the top. Then he would X the seven big so that it actually connected the top with the X, which thus made it a nine.
Here.
And then he would expect you to know what it was.
Well, that's
a,
yeah.
But I would say, like, how about you just draw a seven, and then we'll know.
Write down quickly here. This is great listening. Write down your numbers, 1 through 9, and let's see how different they are. Why, you know, it's like the old hot dog bun thing. You know, why do they sell the hot dog? You can buy the wieners in packs of 6, but the buns in packs of 8, or vice versa, or whatever. Why don't they universalize these things? Why are numbers not universal? All right, let's see the difference. They're mine. Okay, our ones are obviously this. Although some people even get cute with the one. They put a little mini hood on the end of the one. Two, see, you don't do the little loopy in the two at the lower left hand.
Now, mine looks like a Z, actually.
I want to compare them. Three,
my writing is unattractive, to say the least.
Why is it, by the way, that... Because we all go to class, and we all attend the same classes in elementary school, men and boys and girls. Why is it that almost on the same level as dancing, like, you know, almost every guy, and then you go to you have the same opportunities. Why are all guys bad dancers, or the same percentage, like 90% of guys are weird dancers, but 90% of women are all good dancers, and... Most guys look a certain way throwing a ball, and if they don't, then you like, ooh, that's embarrassing for them. But even athletic women tend to look like women throwing a ball, you know?
Right.
And in the same way, girls all have attractive handwriting, and most guys have weird, creepy, shameful handwriting. Why?
I think it's pressure. I think guys write with a certain amount of spirit and aggression. and women have a lighter touch.
We learned that in an early, what, at seven we learned that?
I don't know. I think you put this thing in the guy's hand, he treats it like a bayonet. He's like, I have too much, I push too hard when I write. Also, I wonder if women feel like it's a conformity thing. Like
they're shamed into better handwriting.
My daughter cares what other people think, and my son doesn't care what other people think. So every night before school, she lays out her outfit for the day before, and he lays out his outfit, and that he lays in his outfit that he sleeps in, which is his sweatpants and his t-shirt, and then he shows up to school the next day in the same sweatpants and t-shirt. And then he comes home, and then my wife says, "Get in your pajamas," and he goes, "I'm wearing them." And it's the same thing he wore to school, which is the same sweatpants and t-shirt.
See how long this run can last. Yes. I learned it by watching you, Dad.
No, but not in the new year.
That's right. You're dressing for success.
That's
now.
Right.
I heard about that. Mm-hmm. I think it's very strange, this handwriting thing. Our sevens, you and I make good sevens. We don't do with the fancy pants extra little dash there.
Right.
That's good. Well, all right. Listen, I don't know what to make of this handwriting thing, but Gary's telling us it's time to wrap up. So, unfortunately, we didn't get to the NFL playoff picture just yet. Here,
ooh, what would you rather be? A handwriting expert? Or a body language expert. I love it when you watch Entertainment Tonight and you have the fat broad who has a bunch of cats waiting for her at home and her hair's, you know, peroxide blonde and she's 61. She looks like a really bad realtor, like the bad realtors. And they're going over the tape of OJ doing his first sit down interview. And she goes, "You see how he shifted his weight? That's deception."
Yeah, clear cut. Yeah. That's an obvious one. You learned that day one over there.
Yeah, and it's like, I wouldn't believe anything that's coming out of this broad's mouth.
Why? I mean, I resent it more than I enjoy it, because it's the same thing as dream analysis. What kind of thing? It's just a complete like, this is what I'm going to do. What we have to figure out. That's a good New Year's resolution, is figure out some hokey profession that we can make a great deal of. Oh, wait, that's podcasting.
Yeah, that's right.
I was going to say make a lot of money off of. All right, we'll cut it off there. Podcast One Sports for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports. That's a wrap for today. Talk to you tomorrow. Good Sports.
Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Lakeland, Florida. A 28-year-old man was arrested when he tried to walk out of a 7-Eleven with his pants filled with 15 bottles of motor oil. Definitely not a Jew.
Jake Weissman is in studio, stand-up comedian and co-creator and co-star Corporate on Comedy Central. That's premieres January 17th, 10 p.m. on Comedy Central. But right now, as I was watching last night, you can see, I think, 4 episodes online.
Yeah, you can see it at cc.com, or if you have On Demand or an Apple TV on the Comedy Central app, you can watch the first 4 right now.
Such a weird new world we're living in, when a show premieres, but you can find the first 4 episodes before the show premieres.
There's too much TV. I mean, there's too much shit, so you have to like give people something so they feel like you gave them something, so they'll give you their viewership. It's ridiculous.
No, screw those people. True Car, by the way, is one of our fine sponsors for this half of the show. Go to truecar.com and download the app, and Zoom Us as well. Tell you all about them in a second. Of course, Geico. So, Jake, let's talk about you. I know the world. I used to be on Comedy Central. I feel like it's been a million years. It's changed 1,000% since then.
Yeah, has life been better after it? Will it help me to be on Comedy Central?
This could all be yours.
Yeah.
You can go to like resorts in Maui in 15 years and people come up to you and go, "Hey, Corporate dude."
Yeah. That's not too bad. That's better than other shit, I guess. It's better than continuing to do open mics like I was for so many years.
And then they'll they'll ask you about other people from the show.
Right.
What happened to the other corporate dude? And you go, I don't know. We text.
Yeah, I just
is he?
I'll just say they're dead.
Yeah, that's what I do with Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, really?
Oh, yeah. Been a number of years now.
Yeah.
Don't make me relive
it. It's weird to do, if the show is successful, it's weird to do something that will be the only thing that defines you for most people that ever know you. It's better than nothing, but it's weird.
Do you agree, Man Show?
Well, I'm Loveline and Man Show, oh, okay. So I'm a multi-defined character. You know, I was sitting around with one of my favorite guys, who's Chris Morgan, who writes all the Fast and Furious movies. He's a neighbor. So during the Christmas break, we just had a three martini lunch. Nothing better, by the way, especially if you don't have to go back to work. And he does all the monster movies over there, like the Creature from the Black Lagoon and stuff. They're getting all the vampire and stuff. They're getting all the monster movies. He's going to be doing all the monsters, Universal or whatever it is.
Universal catalog, yeah.
Yeah, he said, hey, in our office or in our commissary or whatever it is in the main hall, there's a big poster of the Mole People.
Oh.
My grandfather, my step-grandfather, no blood, was... he got nominated for an Academy Award for writing The Affairs of Susan, like 1946 or something. But his big claim to fame is he wrote The Mole People, was this schlocky mess of a B movie. And that's all, that's his entire legacy. The Laszlo Gorog wrote The Mole People. That's it. So that's how we work.
Yeah.
And that's why it's always weird for the guys like Bill Cosby and Weinstein and stuff like that, who have, you know, a 40-year career, and then this, and then that's they die or they go to prison. It's pretty much that guy molested people.
He's the one with RCS.
Right. I think it's at least a good joke, though. I think if you're, like, stupid enough to go into entertainment, you deserve to be remembered poorly. I feel like it's such a mistake to have done this. Even though it's great and it's, like, fun, it's like, we don't deserve to feel this good for that long, and it's so turbulent, and we deserve for people to remember us for, like, a spelling error in a tweet. Like, that's, right. The best way to remember our pointless lives.
Yeah, if you're smart, you invent something like Matt Jacuzzi.
Yeah, exactly.
And then your legacy goes on.
What did he invent?
Forever. Now, Larry Hot Tub wasn't. Oh, no, he was a genius, too.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, equally.
No, yeah. But like, yeah, invent a candy bar and like put your daughter's name on it or 100%. Something.
Yeah, it's such a mistake to let anyone fuck with your public image at all, which is what we're all doing, and we deserve the pain that comes with it.
It's not even enough to get your name on a stadium anymore. Mm-mm. Because AT&T will give someone some money and they'll pull your name right off it. We're just talking about the San Diego Chargers. Mm-hmm. Jack Murphy used to be Jack Murphy. Oh, he was a beloved sports writer. I was like, yeah, but then someone came with some money and we got his name off.
Are there any stadiums that aren't completely corporate sponsored anymore?
The one that depresses me the most is Petco Park.
Yeah, I don't like
that
either.
Also in San Diego.
Yeah, exactly.
Lambeau Field is still Lambeau Field.
Arrowhead.
Oh, that's true.
Arrowhead and Soldier Field.
Although, isn't Arrowhead like City Arrowhead or
how
something
dare you?
Like that?
Well, there's the ones there where they try to get you to use them, like... They'll try to do it every once in a while. They'll try to turn a street that we've been calling Exposition or something like that into Martin Luther King Memorial Highway or something. We don't go for that shit. Like, we don't have the off ramps with the ones that the one, like, it's like Officer James Murray Memorial, whatever. No one ever says meet me at Officer James Murray off ramp or whatever it is. It's just that.
Also, who decided that a good way to honor someone was with a fucking street? Like, why is that like a
especially
privilege?
That street.
Yeah.
Pick a better street.
So weird. Yeah.
Find a stretch of Santa Monica in Boys Town, like something with a putting green in the middle of it, not a place where people are getting stabbed.
My grandpa still called MLK Boulevard Army Street back in San Francisco.
Well, yeah. That's because he's racist.
That's exactly why.
Yeah.
Is that obvious? I thought that was obvious.
I'll tell you what you're looking for. You're looking for an airport.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Like
Kennedy's awesome.
Yeah.
LaGuardia is good.
Reagan.
Yeah. It doesn't work. But then we got Burbank Airport, which has been named the Bob Hope Airport for 37 years, and no one is down with it.
But
they
then
will not
someone
do
will
it.
Crash at JFK, and then that's how that'll be remembered.
That's a good point. Yeah. And you really want Bob Hope.
Yeah.
It's the name of a place where people are taking care of that kind of sensitive business. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a guy with a golf club and a Hawaiian shirt. So, stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, started with open mics
here, yeah.
Out in LA.
Yeah, I started in LA, which a lot of people said was a mistake, but I was already working here, so I just started doing it and just did a lot of coffee shops and Westwood Brew Co. and a lot of that stuff. And then once I started doing the alt shows, I realized that sort of the alternative comedy community is a little one note. It's good. There's a lot of great stuff coming out there. But then I went over to the clubs like the Improv and the Comedy Store and started working there because most people don't do both. They just pick one and then decide that that's the only way that comedy's done. And
are you a cool outlier? Or are you on the incorrect? Yeah.
He's a pariah.
That's what I mean. Like, you have to sort of choose your side.
It's lame. I think it's just people getting into defensive posture because they're not very confident. But you should just be able to do both. So, yeah, I just started open mics and then eventually headed to the clubs and got a little lucky to get in there.
What year did you start with open mic?
2009.
And what was the scene like? Were these places – when I started with open mics, you'd go in, you'd put your name in at 5 o'clock and show would start at 7 and – there'd be like 47 people that showed up and they'd take 19 and then Pauly Shore would walk out on stage with a goddamn peachy folder like right before you went up and sit there and like, hey, bro, weeze. And he'd just sit there for 40 minutes and then when he was done, they'd go, all right, it's over now. We're bringing up the axe.
Did you start in L.A.?
Yeah.
And you started at like the Improv and the Store and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It became a little different because there were, I think, you know, when I started, there were just so many more venues that were basically, they let you have an open mic there so you'd buy coffee. So that's like how they kept the coffee shop in business. And yeah, it was terrible. I mean, you basically were paying – you didn't have a good job. I worked at a chandelier store. You'd had like a shitty job and then spent all of your money for buy-ins to do 5 minutes to people who weren't listening to you because they were just thinking of their set going up. But you didn't really have another option. So it was just like driving around from open mic to open mic in so many different – I mean, one of the things that it did do is I know the city so well because it's every single horrible place in the city all over L.A. in the Valley and Long Beach. You're like, oh, I told jokes there to nobody. But yeah, it's just a lot of that. It was just like a lot of signing up and then trying to do as many as possible. And it's a nightmare. I mean, it's the worst experience ever. It's just people saying very violent things to each other. and it's not really going anywhere. And then people booking each other on shows that are at the same venues at the open mic that only comedians go to. And then you just you wish you were religious so you could pray it away.
The whole crowd is basically the rest of the open micers. Right. That is your audience who couldn't be less interested.
Yeah.
You worked at a chandelier store?
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a sconce store.
I sold sconces also at the –
We were called sconces and such, but there was no such.
Did you know what a sconce was before you worked there? Because I did not. I learned what a sconce was day one. And then
I'm
I was
making that
them.
Up. I never worked at
oh
a sconce
my God.
Store.
I was so – I felt so connected to you for
called,
a second.
It was called ensconced.
That was a cruel joke.
That's right.
Yeah, I had to fucking find out what a sconce was. I can't believe anyone knows what a sconce is.
Wall light?
Yeah, just a wall light.
Probably – purchased and installed more than 90 sconces.
Really? So you're a sconce head?
Yeah.
He's a sconce-a-noor.
Yeah. I bought a house. Every house, you guys maybe haven't had this joyous opportunity to do this, which is buying the house from not the person that purchased the house, but the super loser adult kids from that house.
I haven't had the pleasure yet.
Who couldn't afford that house, but they could afford free.
Right.
And they were given the house, and they kind of squatted in it and done whatever. I bought this big Spanish house up top of Lake Hollywood, and I realized that every single lighting fixture had been sold. That a chandelier... and a real, like, vintage Spanish style or whatever from the 20s or whatever. You go to Liz's Hardware, which is upscale, whatever, whatever. You go into one of those places and you go, how much for the chandelier? And they're like, 22. And you're like, 2,200. No, 22,000. Oh, like it's insane.
What?
You'll go to see like four Spanish looking sconces and you go, oh, that looks pretty good. You know, how much? 875. Ooh, well, I guess times four. That's not, oh no, that's a piece. Like it's insane how much that stuff is. So people would come to the loser's house. They'd point up and they go, I'll give you $4,000 for that. Then they'd sell it over to Liz's Hardware for $8,000. And then Liz would sell it for $14,000 or however the math worked. And I found out as I was digging into this house that each room had like six sconces that they'd plastered over. And so I needed to buy six for this room, four for that room, six for that room.
Where Wisconsin would go.
Everywhere I was, I would just pop into a place and buy more Wisconsin.
It's the least relatable problem of all time.
This goes in the coffee table book.
I got a coffee table book, and it's called What Black People Think White People Talk About.
I think they're right.
A picture of the room.
It's a beautiful chandelier.
And those are the sconces. I made the chandelier.
I had the under on number of times the word sconce would be used in today's show.
Hashtag sconce
problems.
You just blew it.
Even know what a sconce is crazy.
Yeah.
I did make the chandelier.
It's beautiful. Very Game of Thrones.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wait, sorry. Is that real or a lie? I now don't know.
He's a carpenter.
Okay, you did make that chandelier.
Well, the chandelier was an interesting thing, if you guys are interested in this. Chandelier was like from a bad smorgasbord or something from the 70s. Like, you can tell the stuff that's sort of fake old Spanish, bad Spanish restaurant, or actual authentic.
Right.
This was bad 70s restaurant thing. They had a big one, they had a small one, and they both look bad. But I said, if I put them together and chain them together and get my scenic painter to paint them up and weld some of the things back on and get these silk-covered bulbs and do all of this stuff, it'll look pretty damn impressive and pretty easy. And for the price of a real one, which is $15,000, I'll do this for a couple $100. So that's what I did.
When I worked in the chandelier store, it was shocking how much money everything costs, because it's nonsense. But rich people, only rich people or like famous people would come in, and they would, I didn't even think about this, but they would be super high and just buy anything they pointed to. And I realized that's such a different level of life. Like, if I'm high, I will eat, and I will eat whatever, and they just point to things and buy them. And it's just such an incredible amount of money for things that could cost so much less. But the joy is just being high and spending $60,000.
Were you on La Brea? Yeah.
I was on Melrose and Larchmont.
Oh, that's the chandelier store. That's
the chandelier district.
Yeah.
Did you get commission on these?
No.
Oh,
I made $15 an hour for 3 years and pursued my dreams.
Pocket any sconces?
Corporate. I just love the fact that I thought I worked at a sconce store.
I was 100. I felt really connected.
It's so specific, and I deliver it.
Was it called Sconces and Such? Was that
yes.
Name?
But it was the ampersand and. It was apostrophe. Probably didn't last.
Backwards end.
All right. Anyway, corporate, very funny. I was watching it last night, and that is Wednesdays. It's dark, but very funny. Wednesdays, January 17th, 10 p.m., Comedy Central. We'll get a little more into that. We'll get into some news. Why don't we get some news primed up, and I'll tell you about True Car. Oh, yeah. New or used. True Car. I got a tip for you. When it comes to your vehicle, go ahead and put that key fob on your chin. It'll increase the range. That's right. We're just talking about the Rose Bowl. Could use one of those. I went to a game at the Rose Bowl with Jimmy a million years ago. We walked in when it was light. We left when it was dark.
That's a mistake.
It's an endless golf course, and we had a couple of beers while we're in there, and we circled that place and looked for his car for 4 hours. Like, we had to wait for every human being to get in their car and leave the Rose Bowl before we found his Saab. He had a Saab at the time. Very weird car to have. The Saab. Anyway, put that key fob on your chin. Increase the range. We should have done that. I don't think that had a key fob. Anyway. Got another tip for you right now. Let's use True Car. Helps people get new cars, used cars. They got a certified dealer network nationwide. Inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. You can enjoy real pricing from actual inventory and a better buying experience. So whether you're going new or you're going used, you go with our own Chris Max Padded. You go with True Car. True Car, man. Have a more confident buying experience. All right. Jake, you want to hang out? We'll do a little news.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hear
the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, speaking of all those crazy Trump tweets, CNN reports that President Donald Trump taunted North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on Tuesday, warning Kim about U.S. nuclear capabilities as tension worsened between the two nations. After Kim said Monday in his annual New Year's Day address, quote, "The entire mainland of the U.S. is within the range of our nuclear weapons, and the nuclear button is always on the desk of my office. They should accurately be aware that this is not a threat, but a reality." Trump fired back in a tweet saying, quote, "North Korean leader Kim Jong-un just stated that the nuclear button is on his desk at all times. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I too have a nuclear button, but it is much bigger and more powerful than his, and my button works."
Oh,
good. Fuck that guy.
This upset many people online who chided the president for
tough
taunting
shit,
a dictator.
Pussies. Let me say something about what these guys are, ISIS or anybody. This whole part, we think diplomacy is going to work because we think like us.
Right.
Like we go, look, just come on, you're going to be nice, whether it's Iran or North Korea or whatever it is. Like we just got it. We they'll understand. They're fucking maniacs, just like ISIS. Just go fucking waste them. Just smoke them. Just tell them we're going to dust them. That's it. I don't think they respond to any kind of we'd like to work this out. I mean, look at Israel in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Israel is fucking bent over backwards to do anything to fucking just all they want to do is just get along. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Jake, you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I don't know what I think exactly, but I do think it's funny because he asked someone to please inform him. So I really like the idea of someone being like, Kim Jong-un, BTW.
Yes.
He says he has a bigger button than you and he'll use it. Like just the idea of
can't
someone
respond.
Informing him.
Right.
I love the idea that it's a bigger button. It's the size of the button that really matters.
Not the nukes.
It's just so, because at this point, it's such a crazy level. We have two psychopaths like taunting each other.
I was going to say, I don't think anyone wants us to be nice to North Korea,
these
but the taunting
keep,
feels,
yeah, one-upping.
Feels I like it.
Juvenile.
I mean, I like it.
It's to me, it's like I think every generation is so narcissistic that they assume that when they're alive, the world will end.
Right.
So
yes.
I don't think it's going to. I don't really think this is going to happen. But it's,
I agree. I think the narcissistic religious people think the rapture's going to happen, mm-hmm. and the narcissistic non-religious people think the nukes are going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if it happens, well, that'll be interesting. I mean, what are we going to do? Like, I don't think it's going to, but if it does, then it's a
different
game.
You're going to be working at that chandelier shop.
Yeah.
Because there's so much on display, and it's all overhead.
It'll
and
fall.
Just all flimsy eye hooks holding those behemoths up and over your head.
Death
I mean,
stones.
We're all going to get smoked, but you're going first at that chandelier shop.
You're gonna get
although
scraped.
You're going out Liberace style.
Yeah. Honestly, it's fine. That's a funny way to go. I don't care. As long as it's quick, who gives a shit?
Well, and you're right about every generation thinking it's them. What about air raids when kids were supposed to get under their desks because that was going to make a difference? What about Cuba pointing missiles at us?
I'm now going to take a happy spin on this one because
perfect.
70% of what I do in life is shit I don't want to do. I'll probably be stuck in traffic or sitting in a fucking movie or sitting in on a phone call with a guy on a speakerphone that keeps like going in and out or something like that. And I'll probably think, good. You know what I mean? What you don't want to be is just like heading home from the gym on the way to get a blowjob.
Top of the world.
You don't want that.
Oh, not now.
You want it on the way to the gym with no blowjob.
Exactly. Right. Sure.
I think the worst would be
post-gym, pre-blowjob.
Yeah, like I'm driving, I'm done with the gym, now I'm going to get a blowjob, and that's where it hits.
First day of a three-day weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Got a little road trip planned.
Yeah. You want it like right after you eat a huge thing of nachos, not when
you're
like,
yourself.
I'll just have a Fresca and Jicama, and then it comes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, it's too ridiculous to get truly upset over. I mean, like, it's like these are two crazy people. And I think the interesting thing, I think what's going on is Kim Jong-un is a completely successful cult leader. He's done a very good job. I mean, it was nepotism, but he's like really controlling that cult so well. And we have more democracy. So Trump is a little jealous of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he needs to try to assert the cult of North America or America. And I think he's just trying to like get us on board. And I just think it's like a pissing match that's pretty funny. I mean, like, who cares?
What do you think about we perceive him as roly poly?
Yeah. Wait, which one?
Kim, I was going to say,
which one?
Who?
Well, Trump is Trump, but he's not roly-poly. Right. He's too tall to be roly-poly, but Kim Jong-un.
Yes, he's a little.
All right, roly-poly. Now, we look at that as a bad thing. But in a country where everyone's starving,
oh, yeah.
Doesn't that make you number one?
It's like the Renaissance.
Yeah, like the
that's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean.
They named that sandwich after those fat models.
Right, the Reuben.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's fascinating. I think he's obviously an interesting guy. He's my age. I'm like 34. And he owns a country. And he went to school in Switzerland. And he loves the Chicago Bulls. He's funny. Like, obviously, he's killing a lot of people. And that's not good.
That's starving not fun.
It's not good. It's not ideal. But
he and Rodman are BFF.
Undeniably funny. Like, there's no way. They're like writing Mad Libs for how they're running their country and how he's existing. And like, if we're going to die, at least it's stupid. I mean, at least right before the world ends, everyone can admit life didn't have a purpose. And now we can admit it. And I feel like that would be good.
Okay.
Are you a nihilist?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we spoke about restless cock syndrome earlier, and to bring that full circle.
RCS.
Hashtag RCS. After all the accusations of sexual assault and harassment, Harvey Weinstein is one step closer to facing criminal charges for his behavior. According to TMZ, the Beverly Hills Police Department has sent two cases involving the disgraced movie mogul to the L.A. County District Attorney's Office. This is the first time a crime investigation into Weinstein's alleged sexual misconduct has gotten this far. As TMZ points out.
How far? Like third base?
Yeah. Touched a boob.
Mm, right outside the sweater?
What is third base?
Over the bra. What? The DA now has to decide whether there's enough evidence to file criminal charges.
No, that's about second base.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Third is him filing.
Yeah.
Indictment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Beverly Hills
jury selection is like home run.
The Beverly Hills department has not supplied any details of the cases. Dozens of women have accused Weinstein of sexual harassment and assault, but so far no criminal charges have been filed against him. And I thought New York was sort of at the forefront of this, but now the LAPD is taken over.
I thought New York was too, and guys like Mark Gergis suggested that those guys would be the first to file criminal charges.
Yeah.
But remember, he'll be bi-coastal.
Oh,
that's right.
Fly back and forth.
And who knows what's going on in Europe, because it's got a whole mess going on over there as well.
Well, speaking of that, the former Charmed actress, who's become a central figure in the hashtag MeToo movement, will star in a documentary series titled Citizen Rose, which will chronicle Rose McGowan's life as an activist. Rose says, quote, "I'm thrilled to partner with E! To amplify my message of bravery, art, joy, and survival."
Is that a Rosebud Citizen Kane thing?
There was a movie called Citizen Ruth.
Yeah. That's all I was thinking.
You got Rosebud, right?
Yeah.
And then Citizen Kane.
Yeah, maybe.
Did somebody put that together, or did I just back cobble that?
I think you're giving them more credit than they perhaps deserve.
Too much credit, because that movie wasn't about any out of activism or anything. Citizen Ruth was about sort of...
But it's about Rosebud. It was like the big...
Right.
Yeah. I like where your head's at.
Yeah, but I don't think that level of thought went into the title.
She says, as I read my book...
Check it out, Chris. We need to find out.
Could be.
Well, yeah, it's like everything you see that movie, it's like Rosebud. Okay. Citizen Rose.
She said, as I read my book, Brave, I realized I wanted to show how we can heal through art even when being hounded by evil.
As I read my book?
Called Brave, yep. Rose reportedly reached a $100,000.
How are we
going to
heal through art again?
Oh, she'll tell you during the E! Special.
Art does less than we make it up to be. It doesn't really make me think that much. It doesn't heal that much. It doesn't bring people together that much. Most art, I go, I could do that shit. That's all. That's where
worse.
I'm at with art.
Well, this is. I'm wondering if we should maybe watch at least a little bit of this, because it's five parts. It
Hold
premieres
on.
January 30th.
Can I add adjunct New Year's rezo?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Still January.
Yeah, you're going to
I'm dressing for success this year. Yeah.
Obviously.
Be healed by art.
Oh, that's good.
That's a lofty goal, man.
Yeah.
For you.
I like to be healed by art.
What do you need to be healed? Like, what do you need healed?
I'll know it when I feel it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But you sense there's a problem, and you sense there you need healing.
When he has a good cleansing cry after
I'll
looking at a
piece of
skin.
I'll stand in front of something at a modern art museum, and it'll make me different.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, what is art? What are we talking about?
I don't know. Yeah, I love that it heals you and it makes you think.
But is it like a painting?
It never makes me think. Makes me think whoever painted it was a douche or talented. But it's neither, doesn't make me think much about anything else.
But what about the person doing the art? Like, through painting,
it does make me think. I've been, we've seen all the Dutch master.
We went to the Rijk Museum in Amsterdam and spent about 3 hours there and
looking at the Dutch masters. I'll tell you what it made me think. It did make me think. It was like, God, chicks were fat back then.
Totally.
Let's eat. Do they serve beer at this place?
Can we get a
Heineken? Oh, they have the super cold Heineken place down the street. Let's go there. Yeah, I did do a lot of thinking about how fat chicks were back then. And they're so pasty.
You could double dip, too, because both of the cruise ships we've been on previously have, like, art walks. Art auctions. You could always, you know, double dip while you're on the ship.
Be healed.
Yeah.
A lot of wolf art. If you like wolf art, you're in luck.
Yeah, like wolf art.
Southwestern, yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm. Southwestern themes, yep.
Oh yeah, Indian and wolf art.
Also arts. Inuits, you know, the natives up in the snowy areas too.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. That does make me think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all I gotta get a T-shirt with that on it.
Get healed.
Yep.
Well, the Today Show kicked off the new year by officially naming Hoda Kotb the permanent replacement for Matt Lauer. The 53-year-old moved from the Today Show's fourth hour with Kathy Lee Gifford to fill in for Lauer after he was fired on November 28th.
The new world order is just, look, the guy over there, the serial molester, what do? We got to get a chick who no one really knows where the race is, but she could be everything.
Yeah.
Just bring her in and sit her down. Yeah. There'll be no more.
Well, Hoda's questions, really climbed through the ranking.
Did anyone... Okay, here's what drives me nuts about all the people of all this time and all this stuff. It's sort of like when Ryan Seacrest took...
Over the world?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he started... He took the place of... Regis and Kathy Lee.
Oh my God. Kelly.
Has anyone ever said, like, oh, did you hear what Hoda said? It was a very interesting take on what's going on and anything. Or Ryan Seacrest. It's like, I feel like all these people are just like seat warmers.
I'm trying not to be a
prick about it, but you have all of this time, you have all of these ears and all of these eyeballs. And you're just sort of sitting there kind of pretending to laugh and then throwing it to somebody and then coming back and pretending to laugh again and then talking about a squirrel that water skis and then pretending to laugh again. Like, wouldn't it be nice if somebody had some ideas and some thoughts and something that could, they'd immediately be fired. Well, I get
Lauer
it.
Has some ideas and some thoughts.
I think that Seacrest, like what I think is going on with those people is they're artists, because I think what they're doing is they're showing...
I'm not being healed.
Yeah.
Well, no, but they're anesthetizing you. And that's what people want.
I do feel tired.
Because they're so upset about being alive and not, just being kind of dumb and not really having any purpose to their lives and whatever. They just want someone to talk at them and have the time be erased from their memory.
You're saying Seacrest is the opiate of the masses.
Yes, I think he is. Mm. I think he's an artist. I think he's like a conduit of nothing.
It's
a beautiful thing. I think it's hard to do that because you couldn't do that. You would eventually have an opinion that would make someone go, I don't know. But he is able to speak for millions of hours without having an opinion on anything, and that is art.
Well, also, I don't need somebody to physically react to what I just heard. Like that part where they go, and they went, he was a former magician who worked at children's parties, and they crawled in his underpinning and found four bodies, most of them adolescent. And then they cut back to me, and I go...
Hard to believe.
That's tough stuff.
That's a shame. Yeah. And your thoughts go out to the parents. Okay, let's go check weather again. Like, I don't need a person to let me know it's bad.
Stocking stuffers for the movie lover.
Just heard about the 9-year-olds that were entombed in the underpinning of the guy's house.
We can do the sad math.
Yeah. And I don't even want to the part where you then say things like, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? I have children. I couldn't imagine. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to traffic and weather. Like, I don't know. What does that person do? What do they say they do? What do they see when they look in the mirror? Are they done with their brushing their teeth? And they go,
I think they plaque aside. I think he, like, takes off his I don't think he's a person. I think he takes off his head and he puts it and he recharges it at night and he goes to sleep and puts it back on in the morning. It's incredible. He's a robot.
So here are our new marching orders in terms of TV. Hire a whole bunch of people that probably won't get fired. And then that's just going to leave us with this horrible homogenized mess of a nothing of people just sitting there nodding their head and going, if you can't say anything, then you can't get fired. And the only way to get fired is to say something. I don't know. Like, I missed it when guys would smoke on TV and lob out an opinion or two. Like,
I firmly believe that just like every generation feels like the world's going to end because of narcissism, I think that any group of people that rises to the top, even if they're boring, will eventually fuck up. Because I think humans will fuck up. And I think that essentially, even if you get like super PC people and they're all just boring, eventually something horrible will be exposed. And that's equality. Because then when everyone can be awful, then we have a good place to live.
I would love for you to go into teaching.
I don't think
seriously.
I should be allowed to,
you
but I would love
kids.
To. Yeah,
you
I'd like
really
you to,
should.
I'd like you to watch my children.
Yeah, at least a fun uncle.
I don't know if fun is the right word, but I would be an uncle. Yeah.
I'm in the market for a babysitter.
Yeah, this is good. This is some good stuff.
Do you know what I mean? I just feel like all those people, everyone's awful. They're just hiding it until they get a chance to be in power.
All right. Well said. Well, get ready for the next story. I'll tell you about Zoom US. That is Zoom US. Video conferencing. That's changed business. Zoom delivers flawless video, clear audio, instant sharing across any device, desktop, laptop, tablet, or mobile. Yeah, it is good. I talked to these guys. They showed me their product. We even tested it. So I was just watching TV last night. And they're like, we're Skyping in this MMA fighter from Nevada. And it was a total mess. Every time I've tried to Skype someone onto the show or on stage, I get
delays.
It doesn't work.
Measure up. Yeah.
Now, that's why you need Zoom. Dazzling HD video. 25 people can be on one screen at once. Take that, Brady Bunch. Share anything from any device. Word files, spreadsheets, videos, YouTube photos. It's uncanny. It's unbelievable. You guys just check it out. So you can even set up a green screen, create your own backdrop, and put the client's logo on there. Image makes it look like you've been thinking about it. And you hit it out of the ballpark, man. So what do? Visit Zoom US. That's Zoom US to set up your free account today.
.us?
Is it? Oh, sorry. Zoom.us. Zoom.us. And you get a free account. So there you go. Be happy. Have fun with Zoom video communications. All right. And set up a free account. Go ahead, Gina Gray.
All right. Well, it's been a little while. And why don't we kick off the new year with a little round of Germany or Florida?
Which godforsaken land is this fucked up story from? Let's play Germany or Florida.
All right, so here's the story. A man is in jail after trying to kill his wife by rigging their front door with electricity and changing his online status to widowed before finding out the plot failed badly. The man devised an elaborate setup that was supposed to give a fatal jolt to anyone who touched the deadbolt, but made the mistake of telling relatives not to let their kids anywhere near the door handle, which aroused some suspicions. When the wife's stepdad showed up to check on some things, he found a strange drawing with the word hi and a smiley face along with some wires. He called the authorities, who disarmed the device. The couple recently had serious marital problems and the man was not supposed to be at the residence but violated that order numerous times. Did this happen in Germany or Florida?
I did this with my wife, Lynette, except for I made a huge calculated error. I did it to the oven knob.
And there it stayed for many years.
She's a microwave gal.
Olga might have gotten
it. It's been over a year now.
Still has burns on her hands.
I got excited during the Christmas holidays when we bought some of that preformed dough that you cut in circles and drop.
Didn't work.
Didn't make it.
Foiled.
Yeah. Next time, I do the Grubhub app on the phone and it explodes. Actually, there's a lot of chicken in the fridge. And Olga's out of town, so Lynette may be whipping up something tonight. I will keep you posted. All right.
So guy electrified his deadbolt on his door to kill his soon-to-be ex-wife.
Feels German to me. It feels both, and I guess that's why I have to play Germany or Florida, but I'm going to go Germany.
Okay, Brian.
Jake?
Yeah, Jake, what do you think? Does this happen in Germany or Florida?
My gut is Florida. I just have never heard a more... I mean, Germany has the ingenuity of this, sure. But my gut says Florida, so I'm going to go with it. It is a toss-up.
I'm agreeing with Jake. The ingenuity says Germany, but the stupidity says Florida, because he changed the status before he knew if she was dead.
I'm so excited. Well, I like where your head's at, Adam, because this does feel German, but this happened in Daytona, Florida.
Oh. Well, that's why I have to play the game. You have to play the game. That's why it's a must that you play the game. All right, what's next?
Well, in an effort to get 2018 off on the right foot, most of us resolve to change for the better over the course of the year. I have the 9 most popular resolutions so far of 2018. Care to guess what's on the list?
9.
Basic stuff,
okay,
I think.
So
lose weight.
Smoking's got to be down there because not that many people are smoking anymore.
It did make the list.
It's got to be on there.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be on there in the top 10, you say?
It's actually number 3.
Okay. Lose weight.
Go to the gym as a second
and or exercise.
Exercise number 1.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm with Brian's get organized. 1.
Yeah.
2. It should be somewhere
around there. Clean out the
garage. Didn't make organization and cleaning did not make the
list. My one from last year, demand more from your deodorant is what?
That's number 1.5.
I don't know how this one fits in now with social media, but like keep in touch with your family.
I would
more?
Say less social media.
Yeah, I would say less social.
Neither made the cut, but both good suggestions.
Okay.
Here's a deep cut with all that's going on. Watch less TV.
Didn't make the list. These are pretty, I think these are pretty right down the line.
Abuse the elderly.
Yes, number 3.
So the gym's easy. Yeah. Smoking's a perennial all-star.
Donate more to charity.
Losing the weight.
Close. I'll give you that.
Is there a get a finances in order kind of thing?
There's, volunteer more?
Yes. Volunteer more, number 7.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Get out of debt, number 9.
Okay, there
there's
go.
1,
there you go.
2, 3, 4, 5 more. I'm happy to read them off.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, get healthy, which we kind of covered. Quit drinking.
Oh.
Learn new things. Travel more and sleep more.
Sleep more.
Oh, that's interesting.
How about people that are suffering with RCS?
Yeah. That's right.
Get
restless
that under control.
Cock syndrome. How about I finally
find a cure?
Finally talk to my doctor about RCS, who's going to be an attractive woman holding a clipboard with a knowing, non-judgmental nod, by the way, each time.
Yep.
I love doctors on TV. That's probably the biggest chasm in the world. The hot chick doctor with the clipboard who's nodding and not judging on TV versus the guy you see. Weird Indian guy you see with the receding hairline.
Snickering.
Jewish.
Snickering.
Yeah. Balding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, a Delta flight from Detroit to Atlanta had to make a U-turn and return to Detroit after pilots found a bird flying around in the cockpit. The plane was taxiing to the runway when the pilots noticed the bird inside the cockpit, so they turned the plane around and returned to the gate to remove the bird. But after searching for an hour, they couldn't find it and assumed it had somehow left on its own in an airtight plane. The plane then took off, but an hour into the flight, the bird reappeared and the pilot announced, quote, I have an update that the bird is back. It's going a little nuts up here in the cockpit. And we don't feel safe. So we are going back to Detroit. Once the plane arrived at the gate, the door was open, the bird flew out, and they got on their way.
Okay. First off, this thing of like someone's fighting in the plane or someone's getting verbally abused. This plan where we always plan is just turn around. Like what if the folks that settled the West plan was, hey, if someone gets diarrhea, what do we do? Turn it around. Bring those wagons back. Everybody.
Old Jake's got dysentery.
Heading back. Everyone, bring it around.
Yep.
Where's Flint McCullough? He's the scout. He's out front. Well,
around.
He's got to come
That's
back too. We're coming back around. Yeah. I know we're in Indian territory, but we turn it around. Better safe than sorry. What is this thing of like everything is always turn it around? My feeling is turning it around halftime. If you fly for another 28 minutes, you'll be where you want to be.
Right.
Like, how about we just keep going straight? If you took it to a vote, like, hey, there's this person that's drunk out of their mind and a fat guy sitting on them in the back of the plane. Would you like to turn it around and make this into a 19-hour odyssey, or would you like to just stay the course?
Because turning it around doesn't mean, here, the flight's over as of right this second. It's like, no, we have to fly back.
Yeah.
And then we have to deal with this. Like, don't we have cops where we're landing or bird catchers?
Yes. And this just happened over the break. It was a while ago, so I didn't pull the story. But to Chrissy Teigen, who was tweeting her whole flight, that she was 4 hours into a flight to China when they realized that two people were on the plane that weren't supposed to be.
How do you realize that mid-flight?
No clue. I don't know if they asked her, did you order the kosher menu, and they didn't know what to say.
There were three kids in a trench coat.
Yes.
Stacked up.
Yes. And so they turned a four-hour flight to China around, went back. So that was 8 hours in the air from LAX to LAX.
Pretty rough.
I think everyone should just sign a waiver that says, if anything happens, I'll not sue anybody, but let's just keep going to China. We've added 8 hours to this and whatever we're going to do on the ground. And I'm not sure. Look, if we're low on fuel or we've lost an engine, by all means. But if we got some drunk chick in the back, like, do not turn around.
I want
around.
That literally what you said to be the waiver. Like that just one sentence and be like, yeah, I'll sign it.
I'll sign it. Also, it's got that bird has to be the bell of the bird ball, because when that bird is just like hanging around a nest with other birds and they're all sitting around going, what's the fastest you've ever flown? 17 miles an hour, but okay, I was kind of in a dive.
That's cute.
Sweet. That's sweet.
That was pretty good, actually.
What are you, a blue jay?
Yeah.
Not bad for a blue jay.
It's excellent for a blue jay. I mean, not bad. What was the fastest you've flown?
It's adorable.
I've gone about 585 miles an hour.
Oh, that's right. You're the bird on that plane.
That's right, bitch. It's quite a rush. Hand me those seats.
Yes, sir.
You finishing that worm?
I'm not halfway done.
God bless you for getting up so early, by the way, but if you're not going to finish it.
Yeah, that is just true.
Well, some good airplane news. I'll give you that.
Hey, can I say that? Let me... You guys tell me where we're at with airplane in etiquette.
Okay.
Could we instate some goddamn rules on the airplane that are just sort of basic human dignity rules? Like, it's weird because the airport is one big rule. Everything's a rule. Like, sir, we're now, you know, you
finish your water.
Yeah, you land, you're 17 feet away from the jetway. It's like, sir, get your seatbelt. No, back on. And you're being towed into the jetway, and you undo your seatbelt, and you get yelled at for not doing that.
Don't use the bathroom until we're somewhere.
Right. You've got a million rules, tampering with, disabling, destroying. She's tampering with. Get on with our goddamn lives with the smoke detector. We get it. You can't smoke. Okay. How about this rule? When you land... You're not allowed to stand up, go ahead 17 seats, and then put your fat ass in big old bag on top of the seat in front of me where I then am sitting staring at your goddamn ass because you're 11 rows back and you've decided you need to get off of this plane before me, except for I'm in row 7 and you're in row 23. Could we ask that you simply stand up or wait or whatever, but that you're not allowed to sprint down the aisle?
Yes.
Because then I'm sitting there on the aisle. I got my wife and my kids on the other side of the aisle. And this dude's like 6'6", and he has a huge ass. And then he takes his huge... He's like a carpetbagger, like this huge bag, and he sets it on top of the seat in front of me. And now I'm just sitting there staring at this guy's sphincter with this big bag, and he's behind me. He's just decided he needs to get off before I get off the plane. Could we just have some like basic etiquette stuff?
That one seems easy. That one seems like it should already be in place.
When you go to ATM, there's a little line, the form and lines. You don't run up and get right behind the person that's at the ATM and look over their shoulder. You don't poke them. You don't slide to the front. There's a little line. There's a little space. Like it's understood.
Speaking of the decency and the courtesy and the etiquette, every once in a while, you know, you'll land in the middle of the country and you'll hear, we have some passengers who have to make a connection.
Right.
Can you please stay seated until I have to, you know, that's the decency. That should be the one time. If you have to get off or get out of your bag, you're making your connection in 10 minutes, you know, go ahead. That's what you should make the room for. Otherwise, wait your turn.
It's the same on getting on the plane. Do we have any people that need assistance? Do we have kids? Yeah. It should be the same thing.
Well, that they enforce a little bit because you're in a wheelchair or your priority.
And it should go the other direction,
right. When it goes the other direction, just get off the goddamn plane in the goddamn order that your seats are in. And because when I'm sitting in that and I'm on the aisle and that guy was like 6'4", his ass was just right up against my face. The aisle.
But also there's a downside.
we got a problem. The problem is everyone's getting bigger and all the planes are getting smaller. So they're trying to get more people and more seats and more whatever, but it's going against what's happening. What's happening is human beings are getting bigger, and I'm sitting there, and this guy's ass is in my face, and then he sets his big bag on top of the seat in front of me, and that's like pummeling me. And it doesn't need to be this way. And then when we do start getting off, then what do? I got to stand up, and now there's someone behind him. Mm-hmm. And now I have to jockey to get out in the aisle. And I got my wife and my kids on the other side. Just everyone stay in your goddamn seat until it's time to get off the plane and just sort of do it like a zipper. Would you please?
Not hard.
For Christ's sake. Reasonable. Okay.
Here's some good airplane news.
Good.
2017 was the safest year ever for airlines worldwide. Across the globe, there were only 111 airline accidents and just 13 deaths. Apparently, that is good news. The two fatal accidents involved small airliners, one in Angola in October and one in Russia in November. The tally does not count small plane crashes, such as the tour plane that went down in Costa Rica over the weekend. That was really horrible. It also doesn't count ground fatalities. But overall, good news in the skies.
Yeah, it's also funny, too, when they go, we've only had one fatal commercial aircraft down in the last year. And then you look at it, it's like, it went down in Medellin. And you're like,
we can do the math.
Okay, thank you. Probably best.
Right.
Probably for the best. Yeah. All right. One more.
All right. Well, Texas just passed a bevy of laws for the new year, ranging from giving anonymity to lottery winners to lowering the fees for handguns. Another weapon law that's going into effect, though, is for open carry swords and machetes. Blades more than 5.5 inches in length are being permitted. Are you happy about this? Jake likes it. Permitted for open carry in public places. The law, though, prohibits swords and machetes in most bars, schools, colleges, sporting events, polling places, race parks,
polling places,
correctional facilities, hospitals, amusement parks, and places of worship.
Let me tell you why this is important.
Renaissance fair.
Yeah.
It's going to bring civility back.
Okay.
A duel.
Because in a place that has no machetes and no swords, there's a lot of, fuck you, douche fuck. Tell your fat cunt smelly puss wife, fuck yourself too, douche fuck.
Oh, yeah?
That drop.
But in a world where people carry swords, you got to watch what you say.
Yeah.
Why don't we just throw away the guns and require everyone have a machete? That would be incredible.
That's awesome. Very Thunderdome.
Then you at least have to personally kill someone and do the work of it, so you're really thinking about it rather than just firing.
And
up
also
stuff
about
in a
like a super practical application. Like how many times you've just been out and it's been like, oh man, how am I going to get this coconut open? And if someone's like, I don't know, I got my car keys. Like, come on, dude.
Who's going to clear this brush?
I got a leather man back in the SUV.
In terms of non-firearm weapons, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the sword? Would you have the mace or the nunchucks? You know, what would you rather carry?
The star?
The throwing stars is an option. I got to imagine it's pretty low, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would choose brass knuckles over
mace
the
stars. Mace is pretty great.
Mace is pretty sweet. It sends a message.
I'd want like a lasso or something like that.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so fun. They had to tell the truth.
Yeah.
I would say I'm going with sword and I'm going with like foil. Like I'm going as long as I can get.
Oh, like a scabbard.
Not made
like
of foil.
I'd
like some
fencing,
range.
Yeah.
I'd like some range.
Okay, that's good.
Keep him away.
Keep an arm's distance now.
I got into a fight.
A katana blade, pretty sweet.
I got into a fight with a guy in a parking structure in Sherman Oaks a million years ago who had one of those. He had like a mace thing. He had.
Jesus. Why? Like on a chain with a ball and spikes?
His middle name was Trouble, and he had like what looked like nunchucks or nunchucks, and it's always unclear. And had these nunchucks that were, but the chucks were metal. They were like chrome, like solid steel, and he had a pretty long chain in between them. And we were leaving, me and some of my friends who were like sort of, they're sort of like, you know, it's like how cops are, which is like they're kind of into law enforcement, but they're also kind of bullies from high school. Like, but maybe it's good that they're on the happy side of the law. And we saw a movie at the Sherman Oaks Galleria, and then we were leaving, and we just like two punk dudes back when being a punk dude meant something, you know, like army jackets and Doc Martens and mohawks and stuff. And we just were watching them, and they were like, there was like a woman like walking with their kid or something. And the one guy's like, would you get out of here, bitch? You know, and the woman's like, okay, sorry. You know, and then like another guy walked by and they were menacing people. And we're kind of watching them sort of from a distance fuck with people and menace people and screw with people. And we're just like, who are these douchebags? So we went up.
You and Chris and Ray went up.
This is me and Chris and Snake.
Of course. If it can't be Ray.
And we like, and maybe Ray was there. I can't remember. We like walked up to him and we're like, hey, douchebags, why don't you knock it off? Like, stop fucking with people. And they're like, fuck you. I'll fuck with you. You know? And we're like, go ahead, douche.
Shut up.
And, but the guy had a weapon. And he's like, you want some? I'm like, yeah, bring it on. And the guy like reached. There's only one real place you can keep the nunchucks.
Mm-hmm. Butt crack.
And that's in the butt crack. Yeah. Guys have tried to put one in each sock. She can barely walk.
Yeah, you really. You don't get far. You better have a small fight ratio.
It's like that
like
movie,
a
the Defiant Ones. You're chained together. Right. So they tried that many years.
You hold one, I'll hold the other.
Right. And it looks like you escaped from a prison.
Yeah, this is the wrong message.
Right. So
very yakety sack.
The guy just reached back and he pulled out the chrome, solid chrome. The reason I was so familiar with this weapon is because we're able to examine it later more closely.
Oh. Spoils the victory.
Started, he's buried in his skull. Yeah.
He started swinging this thing around at about two, 3 foot of chain and these big chrome things. You start swinging around real hard. And he's like, okay, fuckers, you want some? Come on and get some.
It's the happiest day of his life up to this point.
Yeah.
Right. So I used to have this old secondhand leather kind of bomber jacket, like big, thick, old school leather bomber jacket. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take my bomber jacket off and I'll just hold it in front of me. Because that'll just absorb this guy's nunchuck
like
weapon. He'll just
it's like taunting a bull. Yeah.
It'll get sucked up into that thing. And so I started walking at the guy, and I had my jacket off, and I was kind of out in front of me, and we're just kind of walking at him. And him and his friend were just kind of there, and he was swinging and swinging. And then out of the corner of my eye, I just saw a snake go flying right past me, like right at the guy. And the next thing you know, the guy was laying on top of a car hood, and we're beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, because what's the thing? If a guy charges you, you're going to get maybe one good strike in, but it better be a death blow. Otherwise,
were there two guys?
Yeah, there were two guys, but just like in every one of those 80s movies, the other guy's not really down with the cause.
He's
trying to get laid, essentially.
Yeah.
So he's there, but he's...
He's there in body, not in spirit.
I've had it happen a million times. That second guy's worthless. He's out of there. Like, he's happy. He's like the prison guard on The Wizard of Oz. The guards of the palace, you know what I mean? Yeah. Once the wicked witch goes... Once she turns into smoke, they're relieved. Mm-hmm. They're happy. They didn't like this arrangement either.
They became a punk because they had problems growing up. Like, they're mad at their... Yeah, they like have a secret they need
also,
to get out.
They've kind of witnessed... You basically showed them you have resolve. Mm-hmm. The time for talk is over. Like, the second guy now realizes, uh-oh, whatever this is, it's on. Like, there's no more posturing. Mm-hmm. It's on. That guy just... like begged for his life and ran.
That's great.
The other guy was just on a car hood and we're just pummeling the shit out of him. And then later on, we just took away his weapon. And that's when we got to examine it. And then we went back to my friend Snake's condo. And then I said, we were looking at this thing. It was like heavy. Like, it was a little scarier to hold. Like, I didn't know if it was hollow or whatever and he was swinging around. But when we had it, it was pretty substantial. And I said, Snake, that was pretty bold of you to run past everybody right at this dude. And how'd it work out where you somehow avoided getting hit by this thing? Because the guy was swinging around real good. And then Snake said, he may have caught me a little bit. And I said, oh, yeah? And then he pulled his shirt up, and he had this chain, red chain marks going all the way, like somebody painted him on,
the
way from the top of his left shoulder down to his right hip. Like, the guy got full chain.
Is there
on
anything,
the back.
Guys? Anything?
So he did get full chain, but he didn't get hit in the head or the bones or anything with the heavy part.
Did he go low and, like, spear him, like, underneath?
I was... I'm holding this jacket out in front of me, and it's partially obscuring the guy with the chain, and I'm very focused on this chrome heavy apparatus, this guy swinging above his head. I'm getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden, this guy just zing, and it's on. So I don't know. I didn't exactly sort it out.
So awesome.
I know. That guy, what a fucking douche.
Whatever happened to Snake?
Titan of industry? Became a correctional officer, I think. Moved to Texas or something. I think he works with the youth. Or maybe you're going the wrong direction.
It's for the best.
It's for the best.
You see this chain scar kid?
But anyway, unlike my kids at the luau, we didn't have a lot of entertainment back then. That was like considered, that's a form of entertainment for us. Like
a real Friday night.
That was like a real video game we could play. Yeah. And since none of us, we were like cleaning carpets for a living. We didn't have, no one's going to college. You know, it was like, you're going to be a great surgeon one day. Don't risk this.
Yeah, your hands.
Like, no, it's like one piece of carpet might not get cleaned if this thing hits you in the head. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
If we're going to die, at least it's stupid.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Ah, let me tell you about Geico, man. Everyone's got the to-do list, man. Go to the mall, beat up on some punks. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to drop off anything. You don't have to go to the mall. You don't have to get hit with a chain. You just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket, and you do it at geico.com. So go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance at geico.com. Live basic cable commentary, Irvine Improv, January 25th, Cobra with Mike August up on stage. So come on out and see that magic in real life. It's a fun night. I can't quite explain it to you other than we did it on the cruise, and it was probably the most satisfying thing we did on that. The audience loved it. So come on out and do that. Also, Oxnard Levity Live, March 15th. We'll figure out which movie to do. Basic Cable Commentary, Cobra from the Cruise is available now on iTunes as well. Go say hi to Lynette over Corolla Drinks, and we'll do Baldywood. We'll do The Last Jedi tomorrow. Right. Is Corey Feldman going to be on tomorrow? Ooh, we're going to get some dirt out of that boy tomorrow. Corporate is the name of Jake's new joint. Premieres Wednesday, January 17th at 10 p.m. on Comedy Central. And you can shoot him a tweet at Weissman Jake. Got that right? We good? Mm-hmm. So, till next time, Adam Crawford, Jake Weissman, Gina Grad, RJ Bell, and Paul Bryan. Say, mahalo.
Hey, bro-ies.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook and leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on everything we're doing, Man Green Events, live podcast, basic cable commentary, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.